go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 18th day of August, 2023. This is The Horn. Head On Live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round and where... If you do pop in right now, while the program is live, this program is live, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Anatole and Squeaky and Theo, and they'll be mighty happy to see you. If you're listening via the podcast, pretty please like and subscribe and follow and whatever terminology they use wherever you're listening. And leave a comment for the algorithm so that maybe the community will grow a little bit. That would be wonderful if that could happen. Hi, I'm Robin, and we do have an abundance of material for this evening. It's Friday on the front porch, of course. That means that here in about an hour or so, we will hopefully gather around the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that we sublet from the Keebler Elves that exists over the river and through the woods, and wherein some really fantastic conversations have been taking place over the years, each and every Friday. There will eventually be a button at the top of HeadOn.live. You just click on that, and it'll carry you right through to the aforementioned Old Holler Tree. If you can't manage Skype during the front porch conversation, you can always reach the program via the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, okay? And every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks so very kindly to our 18th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you. So very much to Grace. Thank you, Grace. And thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thank you to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. It means so very much that y'all help keep this nearly 20-year-long conversation going. We stand at unfunded for the entire week. Today, going all the way back to Monday. So the fundraising goal is $1,500, and that would be a genuine community-made miracle if we could do that. And once again, the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar Challenge remains on the table. Our kind internet anonymous friend has carried it over, trying to help us knock out at least $600 of that. So if we can scrape up, let's see, we're at $235. If we could scrape that up among the members of the community, we'll get down to $900 for funding, and that would mean Monday and Tuesday are funded, and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday remain unfunded. So I hope that can happen. It would be magnificent if it could. It would be great if we could do a community-made miracle and get basically, well, let's see, I got to order my meds. got to deal with the rest of the power bill, internet bill, and the phone bill, and we'd be good. And then I could try to fulfill my long-time dream of having health insurance. But I know that's going to be somewhere $400 to $500, so. Well, we got a little bit of August left. We're more than half done. It was a beautiful day here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Coal Man Chinya Stan. And that means that, I got out and about. The produce stand was open on the side of the road over in Fayetteville, so I came home with some more cucumbers for cucumber and onion salad this weekend. And I got a bigger bag this time of half runners, so tomorrow will find me shelling and stringing half runners, and it's kind of like time travel for me. I think of all the women in my family and all the times that I saw them doing that and chatting and snapping and stringing and popping and bloop as it goes in the pan of cold water. Maybe some cornbread, I don't know. Got some new potatoes to go with them. Slivered onions and new potatoes and green beans and got some fresh corn. And so it'll be kind of a succotash kind of affair. It'll be delicious, I hope. So, I know this would appeal to, Joy in Ann Arbor, the Cryptid Festival, CRYPTID, is coming to Free Folk Brewery, which is just a few miles up the road from me on this side of the river, and there will be all things mythic and monstrous, and they're expecting like 1,500 people, so I'll probably have to check that out. It should be delightfully weird. And so we dive into this Friday on the front porch. We can, we are, of course, all suffering from nitwit Nero fatigue. But, God, I'd done the upload last night, and I saw the news break and kind of figured it had to happen sooner or later. And I giggled merrily, kind of like I giggled yesterday morning with the top of the morning to you, Patio Mingla business. And then there was a meme earlier today of Trader Tot, Don Jr., carping and grunting about how they
falsified evidence and tainted the grand jury and lied through their teeth.
And somebody responded with a photograph of Ivana's grave and said, shut up and go mow your mom. Because it looks terribly, terribly untended, especially in light of the fact that she's buried on his tacky-ass bed monster golf course. Go mow your mom. I guess I have a wicked sense of humor. But, no, yesterday, toward the end of the day, the tiny-handed, fat-thumbed vulgarian took to his mobile device and his rickety, falling-apart, wobbling social media platform, Tripe Social, and sent out a tripe. People had been pointing out for an entire week how really incredibly dumb and utterly stupid it would be for him to hold his promised very big press conference in which I will reveal he was going to show this. The Georgia prosecution is a total fake witch hunt, and his lawyers were losing their tiny minds. We talked a little bit yesterday about why people would represent him, and you know, there's that whole John Adams defended the redcoats charged in the Boston Massacre thing, and even horrible defendants deserve a zealous defense. None of these pettifoggers are those kinds of people. They're well, I don't know if you're poker players. Some of us are, I'm sure, but if you bother to calculate it, the odds of improving the one's hand in the draw are not at all impressive. But there are people out there who are eager to learn the hard way. And these lawyers are kind of like that.
No, really, I got a deuce. I'm going to get four more deuces in the draw. Three!
Sure, here you go. One, two, three. And that's why they're doing it, but they've been having a conniption for the past week, as we all know, because he's making himself less defensible every blessed day. And so they said, no, please, really, I can't defend you if you do this, Don. Mr. President, I'm sure he insists they call him Mr. President. Well, he knuckled under yesterday. He may never have intended to. The big splashy report doesn't exist, for starters. It was just going to be another one of his sleazy carnival barker this way to the egress fundraising scams for his sheep, whom he routinely shears. But he put out a tribe saying the following.
Rather than releasing the report on the rigged and stolen Georgia 2020 presidential election on Monday, my lawyers would prefer putting this, I believe, irrefutable and overwhelming evidence of election fraud and irregularities in formal legal filings.
And the minute I read that, I kind of knew what had gone on in the conversations with his lawyers. Oh, no, no, Mr. President, really. No, it's a great report. We especially like the part that you underlined in orange crayon. It's great, and John Barron did a great job writing it. Oh, he did. So what we're going to do is such an awesome, super-duper, excellent report. We're going to use it as evidence in your case, Mr. President, sir.
You know, they came up to me and they said, sir, this is the best evidence we've ever seen in any kind of trial anywhere. This is purely genius evidence.
Of course, nothing in that evidence that he found inside his Mr. Meth pillow, probably placed there directly by Mr. Meth pillow his own self. Well, it ain't coming into any court of law. There's probably something approaching the same number of hearsay objections on, if there even is a document, there are the same number of hearsay objections as there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy, perhaps? And this is just the same bullshit that's been going on for 3 years, of course, and in which he has claimed each and...
I've got the report right here. It's amazing. It's the best report.
So they gave him a bottle of ketchup to suck on and sent him off to the little ex-president's bedroom. And
in the informal legal filings. Yes. Definitely formal legal filings.
So that sent me to bed with a smile on my face and a giggle in my heart. Because you can almost hear the lawyer say, you know, if you do this next Monday, by Tuesday morning, dude, you're going to be in jail. You'll be in the can. You'll be in the cooler. You'll be up the river. You'll be in the joint. You'll be in the stir. You'll be banging your little tin cup across the bars saying, yelling,
let me out, you filthy screws. You dirty screws. I'm innocent. I tell you, I'm innocent. I didn't do nothing.
And at one point in time, I'm sorry, this feels a little gossipy, but it is news. At one point in time, he was said to even be contemplating turning himself in on the same day as the first Republican pageant up in Milwaukee, the 23rd. Imagine that! Upstaging the other Republican dweebs by getting printed and photographed in Fulton County. Oh, God, we're back to the monkey with the little green visor and the arm garters and the pencil work and the math problem. Oh, I miss you, Scott. I can almost hear his voice. Only that demented circus peanut would think that getting printed and photographed in the most massive criminal RICO case in the history of the country would be good press against the Republican field. We're all screwed, Robin. Yeah. Darlene suggesting that he wanted to do this news conference so badly, and yet listen to his sloppy fourths lawyers for once illustrates that, all caps here, he is scared shitless. He is. Oh, wait. You're absolutely right, Darlene. Darlene, you get the first cowbell of the evening. He is scared shitless. Oh, my evil, my beautiful evil. And, by the way, Steve, with a legitimate question. The Cryptid Festival, is that in Point Pleasant? I've seen shows about Mothman there and the big bridge collapse. That was the Silver Bridge, yes. And there's a statue of Mothman. I think Joy in Ann Arbor's even seen it. There's some podcast coming down here. It's going to be right there in beautiful Down Not a Town Hyco. And Sassy Pig Barbecue does some really, really good pulled pork and some delicious ribs. And one of the young women who worked there and works there and works in the brewery said, so how much do you have set by? And that's when she told me, we're expecting 1,500 people. This food truck is filled to bursting with freshly smoked barbecue and ribs. So they're going to be very busy tomorrow. I'm going to find something cute to wear. So all day long is the festival, and then from like 7 to midnight or something, a friend of mine's band is playing. There will be... And it's a brewery, so they make all their own beer. It's really good beer, and I don't do beer anymore. Might have a seltzer. Pulled pork, says Steve. I believe in Mothman for a weekend for some good pulled pork. It's very good pulled pork. Nice and smoky and delicious and juicy and tender. They do baked potatoes, too. Great big humongous roasting russets, and they smash them. And they put pulled pork on them and jalapenos and cheese and barbecue sauce. It's a carbohydrate bomb. That's what it is. Steve suggests that's not what happened, Robin. Hunter Biden stole it via the Pope's satellites. With an attached screenshot. Trump lost election because Pope's satellite stole his votes. What a curious little planet we live on. And, there's a quality pun. Ivana's grave. Sallowed ground. That's good. The unkemptness of Ivana's grave, that's because she's probably not even buried there. Hell, Don Jr. probably snorted her ashes. It's worse than the It's worse than the ash scattering scene from The Big Lebowski. So, I mean, it's just a place to start. But I saw a story, and it's not earth shattering or anything, but I do love it when I see when I see people out there who are knowledgeable, intelligent. And I, of course, have long been the Manchin Whisperer. Well, it wasn't too long back, 8 days to be precise, that Baloney Joe, as many refer to him, Joe to the Manchin born, said,
"Well, I'm thinking about leaving the Democratic Party and becoming an independent."
In other words, pulling a Kyrsten Sinema on the people of West Virginia. He'd have to become an independent because the Republicans don't want him. The Republicans wouldn't have him. But he still maintains title ownership of the Democratic Party, such as it is. He destroyed it before... By turning it into a cult of personality for himself. But, yeah, he said that on Metro News Talkline, which is a statewide, more or less political broadcast hosted by a full-grown adult who still goes by the name Hoppy. The only time I want to hear the word Hoppy is in describing a beer that I do not care to drink. I do not like Hoppy beers. I do not like them, Joe, you schmo. I do not like them in the pines. I do not like them with pulled swine. I do not like hoppy beers, Joe Schmo. I do not like them. I know, you know. Well, the Republicans are feeling kind of froggy, and as I have said in the past, the only way that he's going to run as the no-labels nominee for president under the tutelage of another Joe, Holy Joe Lieberman, who helped fuck the country in 2000 by agreeing to be Al Gore's running mate. Well, lo and behold, a lawyer by the name of Jess Coleman, writing at the New Republic, said that, echoing things that I've already said here, that Joe to the Manchin born is motivated by total desperation. There are no secrets about Manchin's political situation at home after being reelected in 2018 by just 3% in a year in which Democrats vastly outperformed expectations nationally. And Manchin has an enormous hill to climb with this re-election looming in 2024. But the West Virginia senator doesn't seem to have much interest in taking responsibility for the electoral crisis in which he has enmeshed himself. Instead, he'd like us to believe the political forces around him have simply left him no choice. Both sides have drawn too far to the extremes, leaving no political home for the critical mass of centrist West Virginians who sent him to Washington. Hence, they need to chart a new path on his own. And in point of fact, he needs Democratic votes in this state. Jess Coleman pointing out that in 2018, he got 64% of the votes of those who identify as moderates and only 23% of those who call themselves conservatives, and is, in Coleman's words, far more reliant on Democratic voters than many of his blue state counterparts. And this here is the part that I went, urethra! Because Jess Coleman has figured out the key. Now, he still hasn't sorted out the first law of Manchin's. And that remains exclusively my discovery. And that is, you know, no one named Manchin ever does anything that doesn't benefit someone named Manchin. But Jess Coleman did, I'd say, identify a corollary. Noting in the same article, mostly we have to understand something simple about Manchin. We are not watching a political genius at work.
Joe Manchin III, super genius.
He's not on the verge of revealing a masterful plan to pull off another miracle in West Virginia. This is a desperate politician squirming for his political life after making a series of catastrophic political decisions. The only thing that I would add to Jess Coleman's analysis is that I think he underappreciates the long history of the Manchin clan in rat-fucking other Democrats, going all the way back to 1968, and Manchins for Arch, or Democrats for, it was Manchins, Democrats for Arch Moore, or perhaps 1996, and Democrats for Underwood, both of which were backed under the table by the Manchin family. But I just kind of had to share that because I love it when I get proven right. I'm not a big ego, but I do like to. I like to be able to occasionally bask in the warm glow of knowing that here, in a tiny studio in the hills and hollers of West Virginia, we're going on 20 years. We've been getting shit right long before others did. Can't take that to the bank or anything, but it does make nodding off at the end of the day a little bit easier, a little bit more pleasant. Okay, back to Donald Trump, because this is funny too. Julius Geiser is trying to put off the latest defamation trial brought by E. Jean Carroll. Tangerine Tiberius's pettifoggers pleaded to the court to please stay the case pending the appeal of the previous ruling. And U.S. District Court Judge Lewis Kaplan said, I don't gotta, so I ain't gonna. And then, having slipped the shiv in, he gave it a little twist. Now, since January the 20th, 2021, we've been hearing the maggots and the Republicans and what have you over on the right, and a few members of the Sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol over here on the left. What left? Joe Biden sold he farts dust. He's got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel. Well, today, Judge Lewis Kaplan, from the bench, Judge Lewis Kaplan said, both parties are of advanced age, and a stay of this case pending resolution of Mr. Trump's appeal would threaten delaying any compensation to which Ms. Carroll might be entitled by at least several months, if not a year or more. Advanced age. That would be Nitwit Nero's 77 years, which is just 4 years short of the man he keeps claiming is so feeble and yet who rides bicycles when merely the sight of a bicycle would cause Nitwit Nero, or the threat of having to get on one, would cause Nitwit Nero to ruin yet another double depending. Oopsie. His advanced age. And, you know, E. Jean Carroll already has a whopping big judgment. And she's probably going to get another one because dipshit couldn't keep his mouth shut after the first judgment. Which, in a way, sort of presages what we're going to see through the course of these four upcoming trials. And Judge Kaplan noted that, you know, there are some legal issues at work, but, now, while there is a public interest in immunizing presidents for actions properly taken within the scope of their duties, there is a public interest also in ensuring that even presidents will be held accountable for actions that, as this court has already determined in this case, do not come within that scope. And that paragraph in itself has an interesting aspect to it insofar as, A, Lewis Kaplan is an Article III federal judge clothed with all the awesome majesty and power that an Article III federal judge has and lifetime tenure and all of that. And the fact that he already ruled that Nitwit Nero was not covered by any sort of presidential immunity for acts taken while in office in sleazing E. Jean Carroll. Why would I find that interesting? Because that will be the very same argument made by Mark Meadows to a United States District Court judge in Georgia for removal of the RICO case against him to federal court. You know the argument. It wasn't me. If it was me, well, I wasn't there. And if it was me and I was there, I was only following orders. And Judge Kaplan has already determined that even if one is president of the United States, that one does not have immunity for engaging in slander and libel against a private citizen who alleges misconduct against you. By extension, then, Mark Meadows will be hard-pressed to argue to a court, well, I didn't do it, but even if I did, I was only following orders, and I've got immunity because I did it at a time when I was a faithful servant of the President of the United States who was engaged in a criminal enterprise to disenfranchise millions upon millions of American voters. So you gotta let me remove it. It occurs to me that his argument is going to be a steeper uphill climb than what I initially thought. You know, Your Honor, I had a right to violate the law of the United States and the federal government and the laws of the state of Georgia because I was the president's chief of staff. How does a competent U.S. District Court judge, Article III, hear that argument not just take the memorandum of law that his pettifoggers have submitted to him, Meadows' pettifoggers, and take page one and fold it into a paper airplane and flip right out the window, take page two, page three, page four, page five, and just sit there and shoot jump shots at the waste paper basket, occasionally when he hits one, you know, holding up the basketball referee symbol for a three-pointer. Moreover, how do you listen to that argument and not just sit there and go, you're kidding, right? Woo, that's a good one. Here's a green visor and a pencil and some arm garters and a notepad. I want to see you do some arithmetic problems. I guess I'm in kind of a good, albeit silly mood. But since we're talking about all the events of the attempt to overturn the 2020 election and the domestic terror attack and whatnot, what have you, yeah, let's do a little bit of today in January 6th, shall we? Let's start with the good news. Via the Philadelphia Inquirer, Dateline Philadelphia, Zach Rell, has been found guilty for his role in the domestic terror attack on the Constitution of the United States and the seat of government thereof. He's shown in the Philadelphia Inquirer article in a photograph displaying the Proud Boys white power hand gesture. You have to do it palm outward with your right hand, your index finger against your the end of your thumb, and the three fingers, your little finger, middle finger, and ring finger, extended to form the W, and you read left to right, W, and the circle is the P for power. Because they're Proud Boys and they're white supremacists, and they are therefore fucking fascists. Zach Rell will be sentenced alongside Enrique Tarrio and Ethan Nordine and Joseph Biggs. You might recall they were all convicted for seditious conspiracy charges. They will all be sentenced the week of August the 28th. And federal prosecutors have now submitted their sentencing memoranda. And the DOJ wants to see Zach Rell, Philadelphia chair or president or exalted noble pish posh or grand poobah, ack-ack-a-dack, poobah. The DOJ wants to see him do 30, and I mean years, not months, in the care, custody, and control of the United States Department of Bureau of Prisons. That 30-year recommendation is the longest recommendation yet sought by the Department of Justice for anyone participating in the domestic terror attack of January 6th. Assistant U.S. Attorneys Jason B.A. McCullough and Connor Mulroe in their memo said, "These defendants and the men in their command saw themselves as the foot soldiers of the right. They were prepared to use, and they did use, force to stop the traitors," in quotes, "from stealing the election. They failed. They are not heroes. They are criminals." And what they're asking for is rather remarkable, and I'm proud of them for doing it. The prosecutors want U.S. District Judge Timothy J. Kelly to sentence these fascist pricks consecutively and not concurrently. They want the charges stacked. So serve 20 years, be done with that sentence. Here, serve another 10. They're also looking for 33 years out of Enrique Tarrio and Biggs. They want 27 years for Jason Nordine and 20 years for Dominic Pozzola. And the prosecutor said what the Proud Boys did was far worse than what the Oath Keepers did. And Zach Rell and his co-conspirators were at the point of the spear in that domestic terror attack, screaming in cell phone video that was shot right after the first breach of the Capitol, "Fuck 'em! Storm the Capitol!" Making it worse, Zach Rell is, of course, a former member of the United States Marine Corps. He's also the son and grandson of members of the Philadelphia Police Department. And he was hosing down cops with pepper spray all along the way. The defense from the pettifogger for Zach Rell?
Well, my client he believed, even if incorrectly, he genuinely believed that the 2020 presidential election was stolen, and that he was protecting democracy. And, Judge, that should prompt you to be merciful.
Pettifogger's name is Norman Pattis. We've heard of him before, haven't we?
These defendants are not terrorists.
It was Norman Pattis, among others, and Darlene gave us the lowdown on Norman Pattis a while back. But Norm Pattis was the one who defended Alex Jones right into a humongous jury verdict in Connecticut.
Pattis said, "These defendants are not terrorists. Whatever excess of zeal they demonstrated on January 6, 2021, and no matter how grave the potential interference with the orderly transfer of power due to the events of that day, a decade or more behind bars is excessive punishment."
Motherfucker! Horizontal crucifixion for these fascist fucks wouldn't be excessive punishment. Here's the thing, though. I mean, certain things were adduced at trial. He followed Nitwit Nero's word to the letter. Now, at sentencing, if he, under oath, would like to take the stand in his own defense, and tell the world precisely why he did what he and the Proud Boys did, namely that they were acting on orders from Donald J. Trump in a bid for mercy from Judge Kelly, he is absolutely welcome to do that. And hopefully, the court reporter will prepare an accurate but rushed transcript and get it into the hands of Jack Smith and Fonnie Willis, as the French say, tout suite. Among other things, Zach Rell was handpicked by Enrique Tarrio. And on social media, Zach Rell said he was definitely up for firing squads for the traitors that are trying to steal the election. And he wasn't even regretful after it was over. Looking back, as he said in a text message to other members of the Philadelphia chapter of the Proud Boys, he wrote this on January 7th, "We should have held the Capitol. Everyone should have showed up armed and took the country back the right way." Rell, meanwhile, has spent the last 2.5 years or so awaiting trial in solitary. and I am generally not a fan of solitary confinement. In this case, I'm willing to make an exception, but Norm Pattis is going to go down swinging, I guess.
We are a nation.
I love it when pettifogging dirtbags like Norm Pattis make the patriotism argument.
We are a nation born in dissent. Our politics has often been raw and raucous. The challenge in divided times is not to divide and conquer, but to build bridges between people who love this country, sometimes in shockingly different ways.
Oh, mother. Tell it to the Marines, Norm. Participating in a domestic terror attack on the capital of the United States is not loving America in a shockingly different way. It's fucking terrorism. God, I despise these people. And I get the whole zealous defense thing, too, but wow, really? Well, okay, in other January 6th news, it appears that a couple of January 6th defendants are on the lam. Florida man, of course. Some of this goes back to March. Well, I can't find it now, but, there it is. Persistence, Robin. Christopher Worrell, a proud boy out of, where else, Florida, facing 7 counts, already convicted thereof, was supposed to be sentenced in Washington, D.C. today. But somehow or another, he's didn't show up. U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia spokeswoman Patricia Hartman said, we're interested in any information the public may have about his whereabouts. He was supposed to be sentenced today at 2:30. The sentencing has been indefinitely postponed by U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth. As of yesterday, Judge Lamberth made plain or public that there is an arrest warrant out for him. The FBI put out a wanted poster today. Wanted for violating conditions of release pending sentencing on federal charges related to the violence at the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021. He had a 5-day bench trial back in May. on obstruction of an official proceeding, assaulting officers, and engaging in violence on Capitol grounds. In writing his ruling after the conviction, Judge Lambert said, the evidence demonstrates that Mr. Worrell traveled to Washington, D.C. for the purpose of ensuring that the Electoral College certification of President Biden failed. The evidence shows that he then furthered that goal, both by joining the mob and then by spraying the officers with a pepper gel spray. Prosecutors want 14 federal years for Worrell. His co-defendant, another Florida man, Daniel Scott, got 5 years in the federal joint last month. And back in November 2021, Judge Lambert said,
well, we can let him go home because he's got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and jail officials haven't been providing him appropriate treatment. And he broke his hand. And they did, that might require surgery.
And he got an ankle monitor and gave up his passport. And I guess he managed to get the ankle bracelet off, and now he's on the run. And I'm just asking because I don't know if I don't know what the law is. Is it legal in a federal warrant to make him wanted dead or alive? Just curious. Darlene in Connecticut, going to that cryptid festival sounds like a blast, and I agree on the pulled pork. I'm having a pulled pork wrap sandwich for dinner tonight from Connecticut's most popular grinder shop, and it's meh. So enjoy. And if I recall correctly, that Mothman statue's pretty buff with six pack abs and a nice ass. Pretty solid wings too. And speaking of six packs, I disagree. I love hoppy beer. Long live IPAs. It'll help that subpar pulled pork wrap go down a little bit easier tonight. Well, Darlene, you're in good company with Brother Deacon Asa, who gave me hell for that. Piss on you and your delicate taste buds, Kincaid. Hoppy beer is where it's at. Ah, oh, no. Gives me a headache. But they're all the rage here. There's two or three breweries in the local area, and if you sit down and say, what do you got that isn't just going to turn my mouth inside out from the hops? They look at it, what? Kind of like a cow looking at a new gate.
Huh? You not like hops? Well, you're not going to go, well, you got no tattoo. Unscannable.
Hence, I go for the, when I do, which is seldom, I go for the Mango Tango seltzer. Fewer carbs. Loving the country in a shockingly different way. Emilio writes, Your Honor, I was just loving my wife in a shockingly different way twice, one for each black eye. Not far off, Emilio. But like I said, we're almost done with the filibuster. It's time to go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and gather around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Welcome to chime in. New voices are always welcome. New voices mean new ideas, new concepts, greater processing of issues and events. Thanks to Uncle Smokey, we're down to $230 to go on the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar challenge from our kind anonymous internet friend. And if we can round that up, we will be down to $900 to go to finish the week. With 2 hours left in the program, hopefully we can do that. 10 people at $23, 23 people at $10, one at $230, two at $115. Oh dear, after that the ciphering gets more difficult. Four at $57.50. Yes, I can do it. Let's just... I really would like to break the string of ending months with horrifying deficits, if we can. Well, thank you, Emilio. By the way, the PayPal button's at headon.live for anyone who doesn't know that. U.S. Postal Service address, the Horn, 1038, make checks, money orders payable to the Horn, not Robin. The Horn, 1038, North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. Emilio, wasn't hoppy beer what Hitler used to drink? If I want something that bitter and horrible, I'll eat a whole jar of green olives sprinkled with lye. Lay off the green olives, bub. I like green olives. It's the lie that gets you.
You know what? You're absolutely right, Kincaid. It's the lie that gets you. That's why I have to go and get fingerprinted and photographed in Fulton County, Georgia, because of all the lies they've told about me, the big, wicked lies.
Sorry. Sometimes things just happen. Can a poster for a person wanted by the feds use the words wanted, dead, or alive? Oh, billable. I was kind of expecting a serious answer, but no. The answer to your question, Robin, is yes, provided that the federal marshal is... John Bon Jovi. That was good. You can tell that was a feisty llama. Okay, I got a headline here, and this is just one of those journalism and language moments. Yes, Jeremy, who could forget about the riggers? I'm not forgetting about the riggers. Don't forget about the riggers, Jeremy says. Now, this is, like I said, just one of those language and journalism and copy editing and headline writing moments. I'm going to read this exactly as it appears. It is about someone about whom I know something less than nothing. The story comes from the New York Daily News, so... take it for what it is. Like I said, and apparently it has to do with a rap star who went by Young Capone and also went by Dope Boy Ra and also went by Ra Ra. Is that homage to Gaga? Ra, 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 ra. Well, rapper Young Capone, a.k.a. Dope Boy Ra, a.k.a. Ra, ra, was big, 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 big in East Atlanta. He was last seen in Chicago in July. He was born Rodriguez Smith. And again, I'm painfully ignorant of any of this, but the whole thing is the headline from the New York Daily News, which I am now going to read to you without any funny, no funny voices, no strange accents, and no punctuation. Rapper Young Capone dead at 35 weeks after he was reported missing. I'll just sit back and wait for the emails to come in. Let me do that again. Rapper Young Capone dead at 35 weeks after he was reported missing. You know, the ancient Romans. Oh, shit. We knew she was going to go to Rome. She had to go to Rome. The ancient Romans didn't have so much as a period in their grammar. You just kind of had to read along and sort it out by word order. It was not the easiest thing in the world. Kind of guess at the pauses. Guess where one idea ends and another one begins. The lack of, a lack of punctuation really does make literacy more challenging. And as I was scanning for stories through my feed, I ran across this one. Realized it wasn't anything that I was going to... Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. But honestly, shouldn't even smirk. The first thing I thought was that this was going to be some abortion horror story. Another little piece of evidence of just how brutal the Republican war on women has become. Rapper Young Capone dead at 35 weeks after he was reported missing. It engendered, pardon the term, just so much speculation on my part. There was a famous rapper who was 35 weeks old. Is this a typo? Is it supposed to read years instead of weeks? Can somebody get a copy editor on this one? Rapper Young Capone dead at 35 weeks after he was reported missing. Rapper Young Capone dead at 35 weeks. No. Rapper Young Capone dead at 35, comma, weeks after he was reported missing. Rapper Young Capone dead at 35 weeks after he was reported missing. But he was last seen in July. I guess this is what happens to your brain after you've worked for Reapy for a while. Weeks. That's a... astonishing. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Brendan. Brendan with a note says, and Brendan just took us down to 220 to go on the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar Challenge. In loving memory of Scott Marinoff, noted American film critic and raconteur. Oh, he would have been so proud, Brendan, for you to refer to him as a noted American film critic, but particularly as a raconteur. That is just kind and sweet and loving, Brendan. Thank you. Theo with a note. Riggers, you say? Hi, Robin. Were I a bigger smartass, one with a travel budget and money for a bulky prop, I'd go into a presser where Geezer Disgustus's minions were excoriating riggers, carrying the unruly bundle, which inherently is an opened parachute, and ask what an inspection and repacking would set me back. As jaws dropped all around, I'd point out that riggers in aviation handle chute maintenance and thus save lives. I'd then ask the befuddled PR reps what good they've done anyone lately. Well played, Thea. David the Blind says, it sounds to me like they're all using the Nuremberg defense. Ask Karen and company how that worked out for them. Here's a clue. They didn't have a jury. Their jury wasn't hung, but they were hanged, and all the maggots that said hi or hail Trump. Karen and company, I think your voice to text was not at its very best, Dave. Defense? What defense? And I would be remiss if I did not mention in this first hour of the program that something remarkable is happening in Southern California. There is a hurricane. The hurricane's name is, of course, Hillary. It reached full-on hurricane status yesterday. It is presently moving into position off the coast of Baja California. And it will make landfall somewhere perhaps just slightly south of Tijuana, like a Sunday in TJ. It's cheap, but it's not free. Dave number 11 sent this story along, so naturally it had to be accompanied by I had to respond with a relevant Steely Dan lyric. It will be in San Bernardino at tropical storm status. And that's the point. This is the first time in the history of weather or weather recording that the greater LA area has ever been under a tropical storm warning. Nah.
The climate change, it's a Chinese hoax.
Sometimes it feels like a lot of folks can't catch a break right now. But, yeah, the L.A. area may actually experience tropical storm conditions from Sunday evening through early on Monday. And the meteorologists are having a hard time sorting out the tracking on Hillary.
But her emails... Crooked Hillary can't even track a straight path as a hurricane.
Now, they're having a hard time tracking it, and what they do know, though, is that the further west it tracks off the Baja coast, the more likely it is that the rainfall and winds that hit Southern California will be profound. Rainfall is also expected. If it moves over the Baja Peninsula, intense rainfall is expected in Nevada. And this is heavy rain. Some places are looking at 5 or more inches of rain. And if that happens in certain parts of L.A., that's when houses slide down mountainsides. Thanks for sending that along, Dave, number 11. I appreciate you. And thank you, Henry. Thank you so much, Henry. We are now down to $195 to go on the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar Challenge. Really appreciate that. Remember, if the rest of that $195 comes in, we go from $1,500 fundraising goal to $9, and means funding for last Monday and last Tuesday. Well, thank you, Billable. Give yourself a cowbell for the Steely Dan reference to the devil, i.e. Hurricane Hillary. Well, the Steely Dan reference to the hurricane, and then my reference to...
But her storm squalls.
Thank you. That was a weird noise. Going back to... Young Capone dead at 35 weeks. Suman with a good one. The kid told me this joke recently. I love grammar and punctuation jokes. I love cooking, kids, and my wife. Or, with grammar, I love cooking, kids, and my wife. There's a book out there called Eat, Shoots, and Leaves that is just about that, and I need to reread that. Now, see, there's a better headline. Thank you, Ralph. Young Capone dead, rapper, colon, rapper who'd been missing since July was 35. I can sort that one out. Oh, what a lovely thing a colon is. Let's see. Last week it was the great Miracle Whip controversy. Now it's hoppy beer. Stephen New York says, for all my brothers and sisters and others, if you want a hoppy beer, the best one is, bar none, Hop Slam that Bell's Brewery makes. It comes out in January. It is exquisite. Hop Slam Ale Double IPA, starting with 6 different hop varietals, added to the brew kettle, and culminating with a massive dry hop addition of Simcoe hops. Bell's Hop Slam Ale possesses the most complex hopping schedule in the Bell's repertoire. I think with one sip of that, I would probably spend the rest of the weekend unfolding my face, Steve. Irish Dave, Hurricane Hillary brings record rainfall to parts of the Southwest. I hope this isn't another damn disaster. West Coast needs a break. And I'm not even there. I think about my dear friend who fled to the L.A. area from the Alabama Gulf Coast. Well, at least I don't have to worry about hurricanes anymore. Traded it off for earthquakes, but what? There's a hurricane coming. Fuck me! Sorry, hon. That's got to be just ironic as hell for you. You know I love you. So let's see if we've got now here's the problem. Let's see if it's going to let me do this. Remind me later. porch. Okay. Yes, it will let me start the call. This may or may not work. I don't see Roger. I know Roger's busy. And I don't see Steve from Georgistan. I'm going to see who's there. And otherwise, this may just turn into an extended filler-obster. All right. Contact. Start call. Ring the group. So that's what it looks like. Brother Deacon, you were on the call list too, so don't worry, you're not required. I mean, love to hear from you, but you're not required. So it looks like it's Squeaky and me and Kevin. Y'all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Hey, Squeaky, how are you?
Doing fine.
I just got a question from Ralph's. Oh, and additional help on the Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. Ralph's is offering a $25 challenge for the MAGA crybabies. This is good. Let me, it's a link to a video, so this could be fun. MAGA crybabies falling apart. $195 to go on our anonymous friends challenge, and $25 with Ralph's. That could lead to a total of $650 if the $195 plus $25, which is $220, are met. I'm terribly curious to see what this video is.
Sounds good.
This is from Ring of Fire. Hold on. Fairly short clip.
Trump supporters all over the country are now begging Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp to please, please change the laws in the state of Georgia so that you can pardon Donald Trump from the crimes he has been accused of. We don't need the trial. We don't need a conviction. We don't even need anything. We just need you to change the laws so that Donald Trump is not in trouble for breaking the laws. Now, to his credit, Brian Kemp and the rest of the Republicans in Georgia have basically just shrugged off these requests. Like, we're not going to change the laws in Georgia. And by the way, even if we wanted to, we don't even have the numbers to do that. Because in order to change Georgia's pardon laws, they would have to have a supermajority to vote in favor of that. And that means they would have to get Democrats in the Georgia State House to vote to change the pardon rules for the sole purpose of protecting Donald Trump, and that ain't going to happen. I mean, you're not even going to get the Republicans to do that. And then, of course, Brian Kemp, who, as we all know, has not exactly been a good friend to Donald Trump, he would still have to sign it into law, and given the rocky relationship between the two, that's not even a guarantee that that would happen. But the reason these people are wanting to do this is because Georgia's pardon laws are, in fact, a little bit weird. And honestly, they're not that bad when you think about it. The governor is not able to pardon people. It's one of four states where the governor does not have that power. Instead, that power rests with a pardon panel, we'll call them, made up of people appointed by the governor. So the governor kind of has a little sway over it, but he has no sway in the decisions that they make. Furthermore, and this has been a weird thing because I've seen it reported both ways, but the way it works, And I think I've reported it both ways, unfortunately, but here's how Georgia pardon works. You can't ask for a pardon until 5 years after you've completed your sentence, because the pardon is not we're doing away with your conviction and crimes. The pardon is essentially the state of Georgia saying, we forgive you, we'll sweep it under the rug now because you paid your debt to society. So even if they pardoned him, the pardon wouldn't come till after he got out of prison. And that, of course, is why Trump supporters are desperate to get the law changed. But think about the heart of the matter, folks. We have heard from Republicans for the last 2 years, not so much this year because it's not a campaign year, but we have heard them talk nonstop about crime, crime, crime. Crime is out of control. There's too much damn crime all over the country. And then Donald Trump gets busted doing crimes and like, whoa. Let's change the laws so that his crimes are okay. You know, you got to go after the other crimers, but not this guy because we like him. We want you to go after people that don't necessarily look like him. So their whole crime talking point has been exposed, obviously, as nothing more than another racist trope that they're trying to push. Because when it comes to people actually committing crimes, crimes that impact the entire country, Republicans are totally cool with that, and they wish we would change the laws to make those kind of crimes a little bit easier, and to make those things not crimes at all. That's what they're trying to do in Georgia. But luckily so far, those Republicans in Georgia don't want anything to do with it. Ring of Fire has fresh content.
Nice analysis. And hilarious, too, in its way.
Yeah. They'll try anything.
Yeah, they will. Thank you. Thank you, Arnold in PA. Thank you so much, Arnold. That means that we are now down to 170 to go in the Cheeto Cry Stupid Czar Challenge. Arnold noting, better check that storm's fucking emails. And by the way, that Hop Slam beer, thanks for getting my back, Arnold. That beer is a migraine waiting to happen. Yeah. I tend to agree.
But it's a delicious migraine.
Only you, Steve, only you.
I guarantee you Darlene's going to look that up and she's going to be like, send me that shit. Because I also sent Darlene.
Is Bell's? I mean, I've had some of their other stuff years ago when Secret Sandwich Society and the Grove were still up and running.
I thought Secret Sandwich Society was up and running again.
No, not yet. The building is oh so close.
Okay.
They were hoping to be open. Oh dear.
It was supposed to be a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, they wanted to be open by early spring. Then they wanted to be open by, you know, the summer season. It's been, if I understand correctly, and I'm not telling tales out of school, it's just been a miserable experience for my friend who owns it. But the building is beautiful, and I want to have a cheat day for those pimento cheese fries so bad I can, well, literally taste them. But I was going to ask, is Bell's, the brewery Bell's, are they out of Michigan?
Yeah, they're in Kalamazoo. Who is doing that?
Oh, that's a translation program.
Okay. Yeah. My apologies.
Let's see, Kevin, if that's you, could you mute, please? No, not Kevin in Mass. I thought, yeah, Kevin. I think that's Kevin in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out. I got new headsets, and I'm trying to figure those out. So, give me a minute, and I'll mute.
Okay, thanks. Just jump in once you get it sorted.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. I put my foot squarely up my in my mouth. Excuse me.
By the way, brother. The great beer controversy, the great IPA controversy. Well, thank you, Brother Deacon. One sip of that, and I'll spend the next week unfolding my face. That's right out of the Phil Hendry archive of radio greatness. Give yourself a cowbell. Thank you. That just touches my heart, Brother Deacon. Really? Phil Hendry? I feel like the clouds should part, the sunbeam should come down, and I should hear the heavenly host, you know, on kazoos or something.
By the way, Asa said he's a hoppy guy too, right?
Oh, come on! He's in the only place more hipster northwest than Seattle, for God's sakes. He's in Vancouver. I don't think Brother Deacon Asa consumes anything that doesn't have hops in it.
I didn't realize that, but I will tell you my impression of Canadian beers is not very high.
You know, you two have a little private war of words going on that neither of you really know about.
No, I go to Canada all the time. Now, I mean, frankly, I've been drinking way less because it was becoming a problem. But when I look at Canadian beers, I find them to be kind of on the weak and watery side. I'm just saying what I've had now.
Well, I mean, back in my beer consuming days, the Labatt's Blue Light was my go-to cheap and cheerful when it was 99 cents for a 24-ouncer. I mean, $3 a six-pack.
Oh, I know.
What's not to love?
It's like the Canadian PBR.
But by the same token, that tells you how long ago those bygone days were.
I got
Molson Canadian Lager.
What did you say, Kevin?
Molson Canadian Lager was not too strong. It was kind of Budweiser's.
I don't know how, but I became. I don't like lagers generally because it's like drinking club soda.
Well, you know my passion for Kolsch. I might get off the beer wagon if I could get a good bottle of Fru or Goffel, but you know that ain't happening. I saw a locally brewed sorta Kolsch from a West Virginia brewing company, and I was like, I might taste that. And then I realized since it's a micro brew and you know all the now I was it was $15.99 a six pack, and I'm like, nope, that is priced for the tourists, and the tourists can have it.
So, well, back in the day, Robin, what about Yingling? Yes, no?
Before Budweiser bought them, yes.
We didn't get Yingling up here in Mass till about 2000 and, I want to say, 4 or 5.
And we all know that Budweiser doesn't exist anymore, too, either, right?
Well, do I have to drink Bud Light now because of Dylan Mulvaney?
Oof. Robin, let me tell you something. You know what? That tells me you are a true fucking believer. If anything can make you drink Bud Light.
Oh, I remember the night that I gave an unmitigated rasher of shit to Steve from Georgistan for talking about cracking open a cold Bud Light.
Oh, I know. I remember that.
Kind of ashamed of myself now.
Oh.
But okay, my favorite since Yingling's from PA, my favorite PA story, PA beer story. Back in the go-go late 80s, when craft beers were few and far between, frankly, there was a place in Atlanta called Taco Mac. And, you know, they pretty much specialized in tacos and nachos and the like. But their pride was the fact that they had over 100 beers on tap. And that's so far back. They would give you, you know, you carried the little folded up beer menu, and they'd give you a punch for every beer that you tried. Because, it was something to try all 100. And it was broken down into domestic and imports. And of course, I was, you know, a proud graduate of Harvard on the Mon, WVU, now being disassembled by Republicans and corporate America. And so, you know, WVU is 75 miles south of Pittsburgh. And I'd spent many happy nights going up there to places like Mario's and Blue Lou's, and people familiar with back in the day Pittsburgh will go, oh yeah, Mario's. They served yards of beer, which it takes a certain amount of skill to drink from. If this were video, you would see me spinning my invisible yard of beer as I'm drinking it, so I don't get the air bubble doesn't come up and I don't get a face full of brew. But a friend of mine joked about Rolling Rock.
Yeah, Rolling Rock.
And one of their mottos was from the glass lined tanks of old Latrobe, PA. And my friend, who was deep southern West Virginia, said, yep, from the glass lined tanks of old Latrine. Which was fun. But the point of the whole story is that on the Taco Mac listing, and this is again Atlanta, Georgia, deep south, they listed Rolling Rock from the glass lined tanks of old Latrobe, Pennsylvania, as, wait for it, an import. I guess because it was imported from north of the Mason-Dixie line or some such shit.
Okay.
Wasn't that in a commercial? Wasn't there a commercial that said imported from Latrobe, PA?
I remember way back in the day when I was going to, when I got to Missouri to go to college, I got my first taste of Olympia. And they had an ad campaign, you know, because they bragged about, you know, brewed from water from artesian wells, and they had an entire ad campaign of what the hell's an artesian? And so you had these shadowy little figures running around among the brush and in the forest, and there goes another one of them artesians. But I remember a lot of happy days with Olympia. Law school saw me consuming a lot of Rolling Rock just because, you know, it wasn't Budweiser. It wasn't Miller.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually the whole revolution gets started. See what I did there, Kevin? With the rise of Boston Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah, Sam's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Sam's.
Which for back then was also highly hopped. This is not to say I was not a hophead at one point. I was, but much as I abused caffeine until I could no longer tolerate it, I drank hoppy beers until the very thought of one makes my head hurt.
Yeah, plus it's too heavy. It's good, but if you go out somewhere and you have two big glasses of Sam's, you're done. I mean, I am anyway. You know, I don't really drink much anymore.
Some beers are a meal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the monks in Germany during Lent in the late Middle Ages and Renaissance would, you know, they'd give up bread for Lent, but they drank a lot of beer and said, well, it's liquid bread. In heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. Or Ben Franklin, and beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
That's a good one, yeah. Pennsylvania, I went there one time, my brother in Connecticut, his next door neighbors from right near King of Prussia.
Pennsylvania, somewhere. I forget the name of the town he was from, but if you want a six pack of beer, you can buy it right from the bar. But if you go to a package store, they only sell it by the case. That's what I was seeing there anyway. But we went to a St. Patrick's Day parade there, and it's where they had the Molly Maguires, the murdering of those. She showed me the building where it happened, I guess. Forget that one. What's the name? Lansford or your King of Prussia? I'll find out the name anyway. But I spent the weekend up there years ago. Me and my brother, and his dad was a mail carrier like me. But he started out in the coal mines. He was a fireman in the coal mines. And then he left that, became a mailman, and was basically, you know, him and a few other guys were just did the whole town. And he retired like in the 90s or something like that. But it was a good St. Patrick's Day parade. I went to there. And a lot of history. I didn't know about the Molly Maguires until he told me about what happened. Boy, it was something else.
Oh, the Molly Maguires?
Yeah. The murder of them in Pennsylvania there?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen the movie?
I want to, yeah. Now that I know about it.
Sean Connery? It'll give you the chills.
Maybe I did a long time ago and I forgot.
If you want a good abuses of the coal industry leading to the rise of organized labor, double feature night, the Molly Maguires and Mate One.
Mate One?
Mate One, MATEWAN. You can watch it for free on YouTube.
Okay, Mate One. Got it. Molly Maguires and Mate One. All right, that's going to be a good watch this weekend. Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania now? You familiar with the area? Is it called Jim Thorpe?
Yeah. Right. I mean, of course, he was one of the victims of the.
Was there a town called Jim Thorpe? I'm sorry.
I think so. I think so.
So that's where they right near Jim Thorpe. I forget the name of the town. Be Lansford. I think, but it's a big valley.
There's a historical marker. Let me just check it out here.
All right.
Oh, Jesus. You type in the Molly Maguires, the first thing you get is the Molly Maguires Pub and Steakhouse of Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, 5 Hazard Square.
We went to a couple of nice spots there, too. It was really nice. The parade was great. The parade was really good.
Executed by hanging, 1877, 1878.
Yeah. Northeastern
PA.
Yep.
And this was one of the places where the Pinkertons made their bloody name. And the Pinkertons gave rise to the mine guard system, which would feature heavily in Mate One as the Baldwin Felts Detective Agency, otherwise known as the Baldwin Thugs. Yeah, Richard Harris and Sean Connery. Yeah, in that movie. Let's see, Jim Thorpe, PA. Yeah, it's in the Poconos.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely in the Poconos because it's mountainous there, and we were up at some abandoned, I was up on a mountain somewhere, not way up high, but near the town, and they're proposing putting a zip line, I guess, like there, or this abandoned, like, it was like a ballroom type of place. Anyway, we were there for like a good weekend there. It was the story just from his dad, you know, about being a fireman in the coal mines, working there, and then becoming a mailman afterwards. And, he still liked his Yuengling.
Like I said, I loved it before Budweiser acquired it, but it's the other it was problematic as well because it was a non-union beer.
Oh, okay. There's that.
And Arnold is in PA and gives us a little bit of a background on it. Oil City, Jim Thorpe, all those little towns. Mock Chunk was the name of the town before they merged two little townships and called it Jim Thorpe because they acquired Jim Thorpe's remains and buried him there and put up a monument to him in like 1954. And Arnold tells us, by the way, the Molly Maguire's is a good beer, a good bar. It really is. Arnold noting Rick and I, talking about Rick Smith, go rafting there multiple weekends of summer. One of their marches, the police shot the guy carrying the American flag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a good deal of Northeast Pennsylvania history. It's a beauty, and supposedly the Mock Chunk comes from the, I think the Lenape language, and it means the bear place, and one of the mountains there looks like a sleeping bear.
Okay.
The things we find our way into on this program. By the way, we're coming up on the, third hour of the program. We got $170 to go to qualify for a doubling challenge, and then a $25 challenge after that. We are $1,500 in the hole. That $170 gets us down to $900 in the hole and gets Monday and Tuesday this week funded. Then Ralph's Maggot Crybabies Challenge gets us down to 850 if we can do that. So that's a total of 195 turns into $650, and that's a heck of a thing. And we've been working on this challenge for this is the third episode working on that challenge. Sorry to talk about it, sorry to mention it, but I'm still
down for $30.
Thank you, Kevin.
I'm gonna do it when I get home. Yeah.
Okay, that gets us down to 160 to go. And that means 145 on the doubling three, the Have a Show on Me challenge. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, yep. I by the way, have no idea what I'm doing in trying to run this, Skype group. I don't know how to ring in other people. I was thinking about, you know, folks like Christopher and haven't heard from John Britovo since God was a baby. Hope he's okay.
I heard he had a heart attack, I heard.
Oh, stroke, I think, but that was a good while back. I've seen his videos where he's up in Raisin Hill.
Oh, good.
After having shaved his beard a couple of years ago, it is back in its full glory.
Nice.
I saw Discord was in trouble somewhere.
You know, for the life of me, Squeaky, I can't get my head around Discord. And plus, the more I learn about it, the more I find out it's a really great way to pick up some nasty shit in your computer. So I don't go there a lot on anything I care about.
I never go there, but I heard that they were having some difficulties this last week legally.
Well, speaking of social media platforms, this is an actual legit story. Leon Scum, has decided to take away the block button at that little microblogging website formerly known as Twitter, which he has renamed Kai. I just despise it. I mentioned it when I actually tweeted out the show post yesterday. At this point in time, Leon Scum has become sort of this derpy Batman villain.
Yeah.
I look at him and I think of how Danny DeVito's rendition portrayal of the Penguin, you know, stank of fish. And I look at Leon Scum and I think of things like, well, Charles Schulz's Pigpen, you know, with this just effluviant cloud of filth that sort of travels with him everywhere goes. But he's decided that you don't need to be able to, you don't need to be able to block your harassers. You don't need to be able to block people who attack you on gratuitously online or non-gratuitously. Nope, nobody needs to block anybody, because under the guise of free speech, on Leon Scum's platform, you don't have the right to not listen to some right-wing asshat gas bags burbling and bleating.
That may be the end of Twitter right there. I don't know. I think a lot of people aren't going to like that.
Well, you know, he's leveraged to the tune of like $44 billion in buying it, and it wasn't even worth anywhere near that. You might recall he said he was going to buy it, executed a deal, then said he didn't want to buy it, but the sellers took him to court and forced him to buy it. I'd like to find them and have a nice talk with them.
It's going to be like an old mining town before long.
Hopefully, but that old mining town will be populated by nothing but dead-enders, hard cases, maggots, and transphobes. Oh, and sorry, I'm going to bring this up because I've been trying to limit that content, but sometimes the story comes along that just kind of makes you go, what the eternal fuck? The World Chess Federation. Did y'all see this one? The World Chess Federation has said that trans women may not compete in the women's division in world chess. Chess.
Huh? Oh, boy.
I guess the World Checkers Federation will follow suit, followed by the World Parcheesi Federation, and, I don't know, maybe the World Pinochle Federation, and then the World Cribbage Federation. You know, please don't leave me to be the only one talking about this, Steve. It's.
I mean, okay. You know how you said that that hop slam would make your head hurt?
Yeah.
This is doing the same thing to me. This is no more than saying, wait a minute. Those people over there are going to be ugly and shitty. Well, we want to get in on the ugly and shitty, too.
Well, it led me to wonder if the World Chess Federation maybe is led by, I mean, we know how good they are at chess. Maybe the World Chess Federation is led by a bunch of fucking Russians doing the bidding of Putin. I don't know. I legit don't know. Here's the other side of the story, though. This is the part that makes you go, oh, wow, this is breathtakingly dumb. So trans women may not participate in world chess, but if a trans man goes on testosterone, he has to leave women's chess, but can compete in men's international chess. But trans women can just fuck off because, well, you know, they have an unnatural physical advantage in chess. Anybody, feel free to chime in, because I would just love to fucking know what... Because I can't see this through an unbiased lens.
Well, hold, I mean, no...
I don't see any logical or physiological or mental, any reason whatsoever for... Zero. Other than, you know, just...
Transphobia.
Transphobia. Yep.
I mean, before they made this rule, I really think they should have probably banned computers from chess, and moreover, banned Vulcans from chess. Queen to Queens level 3. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. And then, you know, just on principle, ban Klingons from chess because. They get all pissed off and yell "Ptah!" and turn the board over the first time they lose a fucking pawn.
First of all, should it matter what gender you are to play chess? Should there be a men's and women's chess league?
Wasn't that wonderful series of a couple of years back, The Queen's Gambit, predicated on a woman showing up and beating the shit out of men in chess?
I knew some good female chess players when we were younger up the chess we had in high school. We had some good, and they beat the guys all the time. So what's the big deal? I mean, you know, I mean,
isn't chess kind of a pure meritocracy?
I'm going to explain it right now.
I'm guessing our guest must be Scary Jerry.
Yep. Anytime.
Yay!
Okay,
Yay!
Mute for a second so Steve can do his explanation.
Okay. International Chess Federation, it lists three partners, as they're called. Partner number one, Freedom Holding Corporation. What is Freedom Holding Corporation? It's like an investment... Ugh, fucking goddamn it.
Doesn't sound good.
Mute, Jerry. Jerry, mute.
Freedom Holding Corporation, headquarters Almaty, Kazakhstan.
What?
Well,
is the picture starting to become a little clear here? I gotta find it. Another partner called. Official provider of legal services, Allrud. Allrud Law Firm is one of the leading private full-service Russian law firms. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Then another one is called...
I was just guessing, but I'm so proud of myself.
Then we have another one called Tech Mahindra, which I have a feeling is going to have some... probably an Indian
firm with maybe ties to
Narendra Modi. I would
Narendra Modi, fascist.
This one says the corporate office is in Secaucus, New Jersey. But who owns Tech Mahindra, an Indian multinational conglomerate headquartered in Mumbai? Founders. I don't know any of these people. I mean, 260,000 people, so it's pretty damn big. So let's dig down a little bit here. But it's got locations: India, Hyderabad, well, just India, Asia Pacific, Hong Kong, Malaysia, that doesn't tell us anything.
No, but the Russia and Kazakhstan part does.
Yeah, it does. It tells us what the hell. It does tell us a lot of what we need to know. So there. Is that kind of plays it out, doesn't it?
Yeah, that clears things up a bit. My feelings are a little hurt, quite frankly. I was expecting at least a giggle or something for the, you know, World Cribbage Federation.
But you know what, though?
They probably exist.
But, Robin, in this day and age, there are no surprises. Are there?
No, just a lot of stupidity.
There are no surprise, and I'm, you know, that's no longer a cliche. I'm not surprised. That's not a cliche, because there aren't any. I mean, if how you described that story in the beginning doesn't make the absolute case for that notion, I don't know what does, because I don't care, even in the most bigoted of reasons, or even in the most transphobic of reasons of, well, I don't want my daughter, my cis daughter, going up against a trans woman on the chessboard. There is zero.
Is there a height advantage or something because of the glower?
Or the reach. Maybe it's the reach.
Well, you know what they don't? What they historically have not banned people from, or what they haven't banned from, was Nazis. I don't know if you guys remember Bobby Fischer.
No shit, John.
Yeah, he was so Jewish, or he was so anti-Semitic, that he made a scene at a chess tournament because the one, what was, what's the one piece that has the horse, like
that, the knight?
Yeah, he said that the nose was too pointy, and he made a debate, and he wasn't joking either. Like, he was for real. You know what I mean? Like you can look it up. Like, the guy was that Jewish, and he was Jewish born too. Like, Hitler vibes.
I mean, so, so the Jewish knight, like the Jewish space lasers. Ah, got it. Okay.
Has anyone ever seen Bobby Fischer and Marginal Trailer Queen in a room together?
Did they both have spork feet? I mean, like I said, that's John and PA, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite people.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Favorite fucking people.
Oh, and I saw your update on the Leon Scum ban the block feature.
Yeah, that's coming from Ron Filimpowski, so I guess that's pretty accurate, I guess.
Yeah, he's usually pretty solid.
Yeah, I hope that's true.
Yeah, apparently you can't have an app, on a social media app, on the Apple App Store if you don't have a block feature.
Good. Because that's a safety issue right there, man. Like straight up.
No,
like,
shit. I'm not trying
to, you know, like that. It's like, there's people that, like, I legitimately sort of, like, was concerned that they were stalking me. Like, one guy, you know, was stalking the crap out of me because I had, you know, I have a picture of me playing guitar or whatever. And I guess he would play guitar, and he was a right wing maggot, and he was, like, going on every single one of my posts, like, commenting on, like, guitar stuff and my guitar pictures and all that crap, and even going on my Instagram, I'm like, whoa, dude, you know what I mean? Like, that's the block button really helped, because I haven't had to even think about him until today, you know?
Well, I personally think, and I tweeted something to this effect earlier, block Leon Scum while you still have the chance.
Hey, Robin.
Yes.
And so I ran over and blocked him.
I'm going to tell you something. You know what I smell?
What? Fascism?
I smell, well, other than that, I smell a Jim Jordan hearing about how Apple, by not carrying Leon Scum's X, Twitter, or whatever fuck it is app, being too corporate woke and censoring conservative whatever. By the way, on that note, I sent you a message about, I think I did. I sent
yeah, the marginal trade, the marge.
No, about Jim Jordan, where, you know, that Jack, what's his nut, subpoenaed the DMs
yes.
from Trump. I think Jim Jordan's in those DMs because, and I don't know, maybe I haven't been listening, but that fucker has gone deathly quiet.
Well, he's also quiet though, Steve, because it's August. I was actually going to remark on that earlier.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day, August was a good time for journalists to take their vacation, to the extent that the journalists get vacations. Because back in the day, August was just dead. It was a dead month. Congress isn't in session. Everybody's gone from D.C. And so journalists take your vacation in August and, you know, come back when the shit hits the fan in September. Well, you know, that's we live in an era of a permanent political campaign now. It was not always thus. We used to get a little break here and there. No more.
Of course, you know, if you've ever fucking been in D.C. in the middle of August,
it's hell.
You become very, very acquainted with the reason of why nobody wants to be there.
Well, yeah, and you were reminded quickly that we are, in fact, water-based beings because all of it is leaking out of your pores 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Let me tell you what, Robin, I literally remember sunny, 100 degrees, 95 to 100% humidity days there, where you would walk outside and it would literally feel like you were walking into, like, a wall of mist.
Yes.
And I went to GW, it was in Foggy Bottom, and that's like ground zero for... And the bugs, and it would just be, it was just, and imagine being there.
Well, that's where the euphemism, the swamp, comes from, because the history of Washington, D.C. is that George Washington made a killing on it by literally selling the government some useless swampland with a hill. And, you know, Rome had some swampland between the Seven Hills, and
you know what?
I guess
there
it kind of... I did that just for you.
I know you did. I see those little gifts.
If that was, you know, hence the reference to no punctuation in Latin.
By the way, I'm going to shut up for a while because I've talked way too much tonight.
Okay, but you're absolutely right about D.C. in August, but the point that I was going to make is that we don't get to say that anymore, and I just got to think, it all began with the D.C. indictment on August 1st, and this has been, and as I said earlier, I am proud of the work that not I, but we have been doing here, picking things apart, analyzing them, making sense of them, on a level that is the equal of anybody in the multimillionaire for-profit media. But this has been the most profoundly news-rich August I personally can remember in rather a long career of journalism and generally following the news.
Robin, I'm not watching preseason football right now to talk politics with invisible people in invisible rooms. This has been amazing. You have been amazing. Not today, not in August, since the very beginning. You held my hand when Trump got elected, okay? I remember that night. I've had deaths and divorces and all kinds of terrible things, and that's still in the top five. When I looked at the Electoral College and I was like, oh, shit, this fuck is going to win. Do you remember that feeling?
Yes.
You brought us through that. I didn't think we were going to make it. I'm not sure we're going to make it. But it's just definitely spicy. I was in a football subreddit. And we're just talking football. And I go, the reason why this offseason is so crazy is because the world is crazy. California is getting a Category 4 hurricane. I have nowhere in my mind to put that.
There's nowhere. There's no little brain box to put that in. Like I said,
no.
The pitiable irony I feel for my sister, who left the hurricanes in the Gulf Coast, and it's like, well, yeah, I might get earthquake, maybe trading for earthquakes, but you know, hurricanes suck. What? There's a hurricane coming?
Hey, Jerry, that's an excellent point. And let me, a category four. Has there ever been?
It'll probably be just back down to tropical storm by the time it makes landfall. But shit, it's Cat 4 right now.
I don't ever remember a Category 4 or hurricane in California ever.
One of the things I found baffling about it, and Jerry, I'm glad you brought it back up, is that, I mean, I'm East Coast-centric and Gulf of Mexico-centric. I, to the extent that I have a working knowledge of hurricanes, you know, I understand that they form off the coast of Africa in the hot tub warm Atlantic, and they suck up energy out of all that warm water, and the rotation begins, and then they turn into, you know, circular saw blades. And I know that if you're going to be in the Caribbean, you would rather be in the Leeward Isles than the Windward Isles. The Leeward Isles don't get hit that much. But generally, you know, they either go up the east, or they go into the Gulf and play pinball. I have no idea how something like this forms in the vast spaces of the Pacific. I mean, where the fuck did this come from?
And stays corporal, meaning every I'm a storm junkie. I really, really am.
Yeah, you kind of have to be to live where you live.
And I got nothing. It has blacks in it, so I wouldn't be so really, what's that word I'm looking for, confident it'll be a tropical storm when it gets there. It could be a Cat 2. Nothing in California is built for a Cat 2.
No. No, they're built for earthquakes out there. They got earthquakes.
Which is the opposite of how you built for hurricanes. It's the opposite of how you built for hurricanes. the buildings are flexible, right? A little bit?
Yeah, they sit on the modern design buildings, as I understand them. They sit on cushions.
Yeah, well, that's the worst. It's all kinds of bad angles. So I don't know. Hopefully it'll be a whole shitload of rain, and it'll make great video, and that's it. But we're in uncharted territory. This is starting to look like a...
We're reasonably rational people, so we tend to look up and say, huh, how about that? Yeah, what they said about this, about climate change, we're right on time. Train's chugging along. 2030 is going to be real fucking interesting.
2030? 2025. We're in a feedback loop, Robin.
Well, yeah, I mean, the early side is 25 and definitely by 30.
I think we're 2 years early. The early side is 2023.
And not to gloat, and God knows we've got enough problems of our own, but I'm sitting here... Oh, knock wood, Robin. Damn. I'm sitting here in... An Appalachia that if it had been allowed to thrive and had not become a resource-cursed colony, we're sitting pretty. Yeah, we get some floods every now and then, but we get more floods now because of mountaintop removal sites. Because there's nowhere for the rain to go now. It used to just suck up into the mountains and drip off the leaves of the trees, and takes 1,000 years to form 1 inch of soil in Appalachia, but whatever. And even now, my poor sister Terry is sitting down there on the Gulf Coast in, you know, 100 degrees and 90% humidity. You know, practically has to put on a scuba suit to go outside. The West Coast is either on fire or burning up. Texas and hell are apparently synonyms. By the way, Yellowknife, Canada, Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. You know, we used to have a dear friend, a member of the community. I haven't heard from him in ages. I would love to, if you'd like to, hear from you. I miss people. But Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories, that is the northernmost provincial capital in Canada, and they're evacuating 22,000 people in Yellowknife. Because Canada is still on fucking fire.
How about a lush tropical island in the middle of the Pacific that caught on fire and burnt the fuck down in like 30 minutes?
Yes. But of course, we now know that the primary reason for that was, you know, capitalism. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's the terrifying part.
The larger point is, and that's why I knocked wood, I'm sitting here in Appalachia, and this really is right now almost heaven. Great big puffy cotton ball clouds across cerulean blue cyan skies, a little 6-7 mile an hour breeze every afternoon. A whopper of a thunderstorm here and there. And, you know, we got up to we got up to all the way to 80 degrees today. And I went out shopping for my half runner beans and my cucumbers and my new potatoes. And I put on my pretty little zebra print $12 dress from Food City and caught a little breeze up the skirt. It's like, well, this is just heaven, isn't it? No, it's West Virginia. And if this gets as loopy as I expect it to be in other parts of the country, I mean, we'll pay our price, too. I have no doubt. But we may stop being a tiny little state of 1.5 million people. This may be a place worth coming to.
Robin? All the words you just said, for the first time in my black-ass life of a half a century on this racist-ass continent, I was like, holy shit, Robin might be right. I may be moving to West Virginia because of the water wars.
Hey, Jerry, you get to buy some of that beautiful oceanfront property in Charleston.
The new River Gorge may be, you know, the Laguna Hills in another 100 years or so. I know nothing about Southern California geography. Maybe I'm close. By the way, Matt chiming in on this hurricane. Yeah, and this is Matt in San Francisco, and I understand. I heard today it may drop a year's worth of rain in one day. That can't be good. Those ill advised houses perched on the sides of hills in Southern California are gonna come down like fucking Tetris pieces.
You have no idea how much rain that is. That's the other thing. It has a lot of rain, but the core seems to be remaining. It's just pulling in its wings and centralizing the core. Still lots of rain.
Yeah, it's revving up the RPMs on the buzzsaw.
Yeah, I mean, and it's pulling in, it's tucking. Usually, what I see in California, that piece, because I saw a tropical something tried to hit like 10 years ago or something, they just fall apart once they hit the stick out part. The Baja California, it's still going, unmolested. That's a new thing I noticed about these new storms in the last 10 years.
I mean, yeah, this isn't the Gulf Coast where it's going, you know, or the Gulf of Mexico where it's going to play pinball. It's just going to grind into Southern California. It's going to be like an entrenching machine.
No, it's a slow tsunami. It's going 10 miles an hour. That is not good. That is a box of not good. I heard Californians can't drive in the rain. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, wait. quit it. You're going to get the California contingent on your ass. Don't do that.
I've seen you people. No, you can't. You just can't.
Jerry, did you just you people the entire state of California?
Yeah, really. No, the cars are all too low and shiny. Few of the parts are functional. It's barely a car. Actual rain come by. There's people who drive around 1987 Toyota 4Runners with snorkel scoops on the hood. People drive around like that here, and I was here for 20 years before. So I was like, oh, you need that every now and then. Because, you know, 4 feet of water for no fucking reason. And you just drove into it. You got your little hood. They don't know hood snorkel scoops in California.
You mentioned hood snorkel scoops. That reminds me of something. In 2017, I was in New Orleans and got a call from MSNBC wanting to know if I would comment on the opioid crisis in West Virginia. And it was kind of a proud moment because Chris Hayes and I looked Nitwit Nero straight in the eye and said, listen, it's time to declare this a national health emergency. And he did it the next day. Which was kind
of
amazing.
Hold on.
Oh, and the fire, Matt says, it's burned a landmass the size of Alabama. That's not good either. I'll take an earthquake any day. I imagine so, Matt. This is all uncharted territory. But the point I was going to get to is, so they sent a limo and a driver for me to our hotel, and it was a gorgeous 700 series BMW limo. You know, liveried driver, wow. Everything. And it took a little while to get them to me because he said, yeah, we had to get this car out because the pumps had failed in New Orleans the previous day, and New Orleans had flooded. It was August. And he said, this one's working because, he said, you know, you'd think they'd think about things like this in a place like New Orleans, but this 700 series BMW has the air intake on the underside of the automobile, and every one of the other 700 series BMWs sucked water into the crankcase.
Yep, because water's not where it's supposed to be.
And it's like every one of those engines is going to have to be replaced. And it's going to be brutally expensive. Oh, my God, that was such a nice car. Sorry, I'm getting lost for a second. Matt continues, validating you, Jerry. California, it's true. We can't drive in the rain. We have a habit of driving into standing water. Don't even bring up hydroplaning. Oh, I can imagine that would be pretty awful. Yeah, because that's the thing. Most people assume that more wrecks happen when it rains than the dry weather, but it doesn't. People tend to be a little more careful in the rain. But when it first starts to rain, and it hasn't in a while, all of that gunk and grime and petrochemical goo that's on the highway just lifts up by a couple of molecules and forms a sheen, and the next thing you know, you're driving with the side of your car facing forward.
John's here.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
What?
John Pritivo, did I conjure you?
How are you doing, Robin?
Ah, among the living.
Well,
I was just remarking on the fact that it's a pretty damn nice time to be in West Virginia.
It's burning up like hell down here. I just had to go up to Tennessee just not long ago to visit my brother, and man, it was almost heaven.
What did David Crockett say all those years ago? The rest of you may go to hell. I am going to Texas.
Yeah, what happened to him? What happened to that guy?
Yeah, funny that.
Funny how that worked out. Anyway, Robin, glad to hear you, baby. I've been listening. I was listening to you talking about West Virginia. I'm always lurking around somewhere, baby.
Oh, that's awful good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I tried to get in the other day. My Skype won't let me in. I pull up my Skype and it don't do shit.
Well, you know, you may not. Anytime you're having trouble with Skype, you can always reach on the stress line, the toll-free number, 844-843-4676. Get you right in.
I almost did that. But then I went to the website, headon.live, then I followed the little click on here to go to Skype, and my Skype opened, and then finally it connected me in.
Well, I'm just glad you did.
What have you been doing, darling?
I'm, you know, it ain't easy. It's a constant struggle, but you know that.
Yep.
We're trying to come up with another $160 to knock. $160 will knock 2 days worth of funding, $600 off of the $1,500 hole we're in. So that's pretty important.
Seems like we're always digging ourselves out of a hole.
Well, it's because there's always somebody down there keeps digging. Power company, phone company, internet company.
Still on the air, you know?
Yeah.
And it's by those donations that your voice gets out there, baby. So it's imperative that people, you know, I know it hurts a lot nowadays. You know, now everybody's got a whole lot of money, but if you do have a little bit, think about what you're listening
and,
to right now.
Yeah, and we've had some wonderful help just getting to where we are. It's downright inspiring. I was just sitting here counting on my fingers because that's how I cipher, you know. Five more months and this show will be 20 years old.
20 years old. Damn.
Almost old enough to drink.
God damn. Here I am almost seven. I'm proud of myself for that.
Damn right you are.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But I have, you blazed the trail, darling, so. You know, we will keep moving forward. That's what we do. We adapt, we overcome, we move forward.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of rock climbing goes on here. And there's a saying among my rock climbing friends, you get to a point on the face where you look up and you go, well, can't climb back down. From here on out, it's climb or die.
That's it. And that's where we are, ain't it?
Yeah.
We either climb ourselves out of the hole that the Republican Party has dug for us, or democracy will turn into something else.
And what and whatever the something else is,
yeah,
we don't want that.
Oh, I don't want that yet. I want what we have, what we have fought for hundreds of years and are still fighting for today. We're not done. We're not a perfect union. We're working towards it, though.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's aspirational and not operational.
That's right. You have to have a vision. You have to know where you're going before you start out.
Yeah, you know? As Scott used to point out, you know, when you're at the mall, it's always good to go to that big sign right there when you walk in that says you are here, because then you know where you are, and that means you can figure out where you want to go.
And always remember, no matter where you go,
there you are.
Well, did I hear Scott?
No, Scott's gone.
Oh.
I don't guess you know. Scott passed away in June.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, it's a lot of heartbreak.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that.
Found out on the 4th of July.
Wow, that long. I haven't been around in a while. I'm sorry.
Scott was like
a regular voice in here.
Yeah, he was, and a fantastic voice at that.
Yes, he was. Well, that's sad, Robin. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's badly missed.
Yeah.
I want to share a couple of emails because the California contingent is chiming in. Subject line: this is from Theo. It should be called Typhoon Hillary. As a Southern California refugee, I'm aghast to think of what a Cat 4 Pacific storm will do to the Southern California coast and the LA Basin. Major Pacific tropical storms usually have the expanse of the Pacific Ocean in which to expend their energy. But climate change has altered temperatures over vast stretches of open water, and the wind patterns have been accordingly changed, as witness Hawaii's disastrous wildfires. I mean, the forests of the Hawaiian Islands getting dried out a few years ago, that would have sounded utterly insane, and to me as much as to anyone else. Right, it kind of blew my mind, because those are rainforests, y'all.
What happens in a rainforest?
It's supposed to rain and be all wet and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jude points out something. Having spent my high school years in Southern California, one concern is that there are few places or areas that offer earth to draw in massive water, mostly cement. The flooding is massive. Billable Rick, driving in California, Scary Jerry is partly correct about people in California not being able to drive well in the rain. I would say that's a true statement regarding people in California who've immigrated from arid lands that rarely experience rain, like Nevada, Arizona, Armenia, Israel, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkey, other Middle Eastern countries. However, a high percentage of Californians hail from the Midwest and East and thus have had experience driving in the rain. Also, Northern Californians are more adept at driving in the rain since their rainfall totals are ordinarily twice as great as those in Southern California. Mark me down for $50. Billable, thank you so much, my friend. That gets us down to 120.
Outstanding, 120. Billable Rick.
That's fantastic. Okay. Let's see. And thank you to our dear sister Jude, who just got us down to $100. $100 to go to get us down to $900.
We can do that in no time. Come on.
I sure hope so. And Matt in San Francisco says, true story, during one storm, a guy passed me on the highway spinning like a top. I was too scared to watch where he ended up. Eyes forward. I'll do $59. It's my birthday. A dollar for every glorious year. Well, happy birthday, Matt. Oh, gosh.
Birthday, Matt.
I hope you and hubby can go out and do something super, super fun this evening. And for your sake, I hope it's not Air Supply. I mean, Matt, we know. The struggle is real. Happy birthday, Matt, and thank you so much. So, whoa, we are down by 59 glorious years to $41. $41 more.
Who wants to be the one to push it right down to zero?
That would be fantastic.
Let's make it
yes.
go the other way. Put her in positive territory.
Yeah, well, there's a $25 challenge after that that'll get us down to $850 in the hole. So that's amazing.
That is amazing.
So okay. $41 and then $25 and 20, 46, 66 dollars. And there we are. Jack in Shreveport, who knows a little bit about heavy rain, Jack in Shreveport just wiped out the challenge, the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar challenge from our kind Internet Anonymous friend. The Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar. You know.
I love it.
Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar. Do you believe you're as dumb as we think you are? See, that's the problem. I always wanted to be in musical theater, and I can't sing.
Yeah, it never stopped me.
It shouldn't stop anybody, but it generally makes the cats howl and the dogs bark.
I sing to lick my heart, not anybody else's.
And that poor little parakeet, he just looks at me like, will you please stop hurting me? I don't know who hurt you, but please stop hurting me. I have tender and delicate little birdie ears.
Oh, shit.
I do. I keep thinking about my sister who went from Alabama to California. You know, hon, this would be a great time to open up Miss Fill in the Blanks. Let's learn to drive in hurricane weather. And I've been running on and on and on because I'm just so freaking tickled. I've got my new driver's license with all my new names on it, and the photograph is fantastic as driver's license photographs go.
How did that happen?
I'm very sweet to the people in the DMV, and there was not a soul in there.
Gods are with you, Robin.
And I just looked at him and said, this has to be a great photo. And he looked at me and said, oh, ma'am, it's going to be. I promise. And he kept his promise. It looks fantastic. And like I said, I keep going on and on about it. But I remember because my previous license was like 2 years and 2 days ago from when this one was issued. And setting those two photographs, and I was proud of the first photograph. But oh my God, the difference in 2 years' time. It's just amazing. And glad to hear you the smile. the reason I got it when I got it was I was going down to the Gulf Coast for an all trans weekend down on the beach in Alabama. The opportunity to wear a swimsuit for the first time and walk along the beach, and it was magic. And then apparently my ancestors intervened. My grandmother's name was Ida. And lo and behold, the hurricane that was boiling along out in the Gulf was named Ida. And we were supposed to be there till Monday. Wound up bugging out on Sunday because we stood there on the boardwalk down to the beach of our rental house, which was beautiful. And watched, I mean, it was awesome. It was still miles out to sea, and there was just this permanent light show of straight down forks of lightning, almost like a strobe light. It's like there was not a moment, and this was like the early morning hours, like, you know, 6, 7, and there was not a moment when there was not lightning running from cloud to ground.
Were there any, like, the water spouts?
Oh, yeah.
Water tornadoes?
Yeah. Plenty. And just watched them spin up in real time. I've got pictures of my hair just blown completely back like that Maxell commercial, audio tape commercial from the 70s. And, you know, those were like 50-mile-an-hour winds. And I walked back in, put my traveling clothes on, and said, "Well, Ida, I got the point. I'm out of here." And drove like a bat out of hell out of Gulf Shores, Alabama, and watched the tendrils, the sawteeth of that hurricane as it came ashore. I watched them cross in front of me going from east to west as I went south to north on I-65, and it was breathtaking and terrifying. And something like that's going to happen somewhere between TJ and San Diego, where it pretty much don't rain. I mean, this thing's being called Hillary. There's something in me that thinks it should be called Hurricane Scott Marinoff.
Before we leave the topic of the Gulf Coast hurricane, I have to jump in with my what is a pathetic area of knowledge is that Family Guy trivia. There's a trans guy character on Family Guy whose name is Ida. Well, went to a she, and is now named Ida. So, that's all. But I usually
and the funniest thing about Hurricane Ida is I tracked her as I was making my way back to West Virginia. And lo and behold, I and the house we live in is Ida's house. Came down to me through the generations, and I'll be damned if the dot for the progress of Hurricane Ida wasn't centered right on top of the house when I got here. It's like
aiming for you.
Yes. Like, okay. Well, you're just gonna have to get used to it, Gran. I'm a girl, okay?
Lieutenant General. Oh, crap. That always helped. I hate my memory. Lieutenant General Honoré. He was saying, like, you know, our legislature did something stupid. He was begging them to make, there was like two changes he wanted to make. And I think one of them was like the legislature, you know, to buy or help with generators, I think, so that like pharmacies and grocery stores, something could keep their refrigerators on and their, you know, and keep providing medicine. And there was something else, and they just wouldn't go for it. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, they got cars that have the intake on the bottom, you know. I mean, crap. We just, you know, our legislature, you know, they're stupid. And, oh, and then another Louisiana news. This is kind of old. Maybe they had it on, Brad but the
Desi.
Brad, yeah, Brad, Desi. Brad and Desi.
Yes. Environmental. On the Panther Rally, there was like two different lawsuits that got, you know, I think nixed or something. And I, of course, I can't remember, but went negative, you know, I think, about loss, you know, declaring the area, you know, something where, you know, I guess people could sue easier or get, you know, get help easier. And then another was something, you know, related to the, you know, I don't know, you know, not the people, the victims, but the, you know, just the area itself that happened. And of course I can't remember what, but, that's all the Louisiana stuff I can think of right now.
Well, you all have a notoriously horrible legislature, so.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the thing. I feel a sense of comradeship with all of the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who live in shithole states with shithole legislatures. You know, John Bridavo, you know, those clowns in Austin.
I know your side. I know Texas is right in there.
Yeah, Jack. Yep. Jack in Louisiana, Stan. All my friends in Alabama. Poor little me here sitting here in West Virginia watching a bunch of maggot barbarians at the gates take apart my proud alma mater and part it out and, you know, leave it sitting in the yard. By the time they're done, Woodburn Circle will be a 1960s era single wide sitting on blocks in the front yard. Mm. But, you know.
Except we're not going to let that happen.
I'd sure like for that not to happen. I love my alma mater.
You know, I keep thinking to myself, sooner or later, Robin, you know, at some point, maybe during the trials, that a light will come on in Bubba's head that says, hey, maybe he's not the right guy. You know?
Sure, John, you gotta hope at some point that after they've paid their nickel for this way to the egress 5 or 10 times, that the light might go on, that they're just being recycled through in and out the gates of the circus.
That's it.
And that they are not constituents and they are not supporters. They're fucking sheep to be shorn. They're marks. They're rubes.
I was all pumped up and ready to go for the big news announcement he was going to make up there in Bedminster on Monday. Damn.
Bed monster.
I got to wait. His lawyers say they're going to do it in court.
Oh, right. I laugh my ass off.
Going to present all the irrefutable evidence.
All right.
Oh, it's going to be a shit show. Robin, we're going to have plenty of entertainment to keep us occupied.
Just please, Jeebus, let us see these trials.
You want cameras in there, baby?
I want more cameras than a Martin Scorsese movie, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I said on my show the other day, I'm kind of torn. I want cameras in there. I want to see him squirm. I want to see his lawyers, what they want to try to come out and pull out of their ass. I want to see the whole entertainment. But you know, if they do, the entertainment value is going to go way up because he is going to make it into a circus.
No, but I think I say yes, definitely we should have cameras, because I think that the spin if we didn't have transparency where people could see it firsthand, the Trump side would spin it to hell, like, on the evening, you know, news or whatever.
No, and I agree. I agree.
Jack Smith wouldn't say anything, you know.
But, you know, there's one thing to take into account here, and that is his primary...
You're stifling my free speech. I have a right to my free speech. This is a free speech case.
But the fact of the matter is, if he tries to turn it into a fundraising scam, which he already is, and I'm painting with a broad brush here, yes, political speech is the most highly protected form of speech in the United States. Would you care to guess what the least protected form of speech is in the United States? Any takers?
Insurrection?
There's that. But commercial speech, John Prideaux.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going.
Trying to turn his felony trials into an infomercial will be easier to suppress than and making it. This isn't political speech. This is commercial speech. But the thing is, technologically speaking, you don't have to have a bunch of camera operators in the courtroom. So this over and over again. They're tiny now. You can do this with little remote operated cameras. You know, it's not like they're going to string line over the from the ceiling and
on dollies anymore.
No, and we're not going to fly a camera back and forth like it's the fucking Superdome.
Now, if it's done, I think they ought to be, as you recommended, they're small cameras discreetly put in microphones in there, and that's it. That's all.
I mean, we need a Trump cam.
We need one that's just dedicated
to his facial expressions and his squirming. We could call it squirm cam.
Blink of his eyes or...
Yeah, blink cam.
That's horrible.
And one other thing, thank God Jay Leno isn't on the air anymore. Because I swear if there was a dancing Judge Chutkan like he did the dancing Ito during the OJ trial, I'd have kittens with crocheted tails. I just would. This can be done with dignity because this is a matter of the most profound American history. This is a matter of life or death of the Republic. And it must, and as I said, it must be viewed in the same light as the Nuremberg trials. The American people must be able to see it in order to learn the full depth and breadth and scope of the criminality of Donald Trump.
Works for me.
Well,
just changed my mind definitively.
I want your opinion on this, John, because I mentioned a couple of nights ago, I think I was talking with our buddy Todd down in South Carolina. How is he, you tell me, John Prideaux, having observed him since 2015 or longer, how is he going to sit quietly through months and months and months of testimony laying out his criminal conduct? How is he going to bear that pressure cooker level of stress?
I would suggest a tennis ball in the mouth wrapped up with duct tape would probably be the only way you're going to get hit.
I said something similar, a ball gag and a Hannibal Lecter mask.
That's it. That's the only assurance you're going to have that he's not going to do something. You know he is. At a certain point, he might have an outburst. I don't know. You know already the facial expressions, the rolling of the eyes, all that shit he's going to do. If he opens his mouth, though, in that courtroom, he's taking a chance. And I know his lawyers are stressing that, but I don't think it makes jack to him.
Can I make a suggestion of what I think is going to happen?
Go, Steve.
Do you remember what happened with Jim Baker? Sobbing uncontrollable in the straitjacket?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be something like that.
Except are you thinking we'd be able to see him in a straitjacket?
I think.
Metaphorically speaking, whatever way it would be.
The guy is unhinged, but the problem is he's an angry animal. The problem is he's always been this way, but this is the first time. And I sometimes wonder if I'm just wishful. It's just wishful thinking on my part.
Witchcraft.
What?
Yes, witchcraft.
Oh, witchcraft. Okay. I think that I really am beginning to think that he is really seriously thinking he's feeling cornered. And I will tell you the one thing that really made me think about that was what happened when his lawyers pushed for April 2026 court date.
Right.
Because what that tells me is, or what I think that may signal is that he thinks he's going to lose the next election. Because if he thought he was going to win, he would. There's no reason to put it in 2026.
You know, I worry. This is the part I worry about, because this is what I keep saying and what I believe. Although I caveat this by saying I was wrong once when he got elected the first time when I thought he ain't going to get elected, and now I'm thinking I don't think he can get elected. I don't think he can win in a popular election. I mean, in the popular election. But I've been saying this for a long time. He's not trying to win an election. He's trying to raise an army. I think he believes he's going to lose. He's going to find out he's in a fucking big bind. And his only way out now is to be rescued by his minions. And I don't know what that looks like. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, he's not running
to win an election. He's trying to raise an army.
And remember, Robin, what we said before about not being having nothing surprise us. That's right on the nothing surprises us list.
Yeah.
Because who would be surprised?
Anything is possible, and nothing will be shocking.
Right.
We already see it. He's doing it by proxy. The lady down here in Texas that just got arrested for threatening checking. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another case that just happened. Some whack job that he's trying to stimulate individual acts.
Well, think about what happened out there in California when they shot that guy.
And shit.
Yeah, he come out there rifled, dumbass. What do you think's gonna happen?
Yeah, Utah.
Yeah, in Utah.
But it was in California.
That's what he's trying to encourage. He thinks every one of them will be a martyr to the right, and it will just build upon his popularity.
And you know what, John? You know what the worst thing that can happen for him is if there does come a point, I don't know, if there does come a point where the maggots do to him what the Italians did to Mussolini, that may happen where they go, I mean, I'm not holding my breath, but, you know, fevers break all the time.
I'd like to see this one.
Oh, yeah. It took a little while in Germany before good Nazis were saying, Hitler? Who was this Hitler? I've never heard of this Hitler.
Speak up. I don't know this man. Yeah. I hope that tide shifts. I hope that by some miraculous whatever, more right-wing conservatives start seeing the light, shifting back. Here's the thing, though. I caveat all this shit because I consider the Republican base right now to be the leftover maggots of the Tea Party and all that other shit.
Yeah, all the way back to the John Birch Society and the Klan.
That's it. That's who they are. And they keep saying he's got a big percentage of the Republican Party. Yeah, the Republican Party that is shrinking. Fewer and fewer decent people with a common mind are moving away from that shit. Either, they're voting for other people or just flat getting out of the Republican Party and going independent or something, because the Republican Party's gone off the freaking deep end.
Or you know what, John? I think there's a lot of, and Robin and I have a little bit of disagreement on this. I think what happened in Georgia in 2020 was a lot of those suburban conservatives who will never vote Democrat or for a Democrat look at this and they just, I think it's exhausting people. Do I think these people are going to eventually be Democrats? No.
But I do think
a number of particularly suburban Republicans look at this.
No, I agree with you, Steve. We are, you know, on our side, we're not the only people in the country suffering with Trump fatigue. Ours is a different Trump fatigue, but they have a Trump fatigue of their own. They yearn for a white, cisgender, heterosexual, Christian man, preferably about,
you know, like the good old days.
Yeah, but who doesn't run around blathering about messages that he's receiving through the fillings in his teeth from the Pope's satellite.
I was going to say, are the Pope's satellites? Tell me, Robin, had you seen that before?
No, I had not, but I did love it.
Did you listen to the video?
No, I couldn't.
Okay, you know what, I'll tell you what, listen, John, you got to hear this. I mean,
I'm going to have to because it's Beer and Bud Friday.
Yeah.
That would go good with
this,
it.
No, this woman says that it was the Pope's satellites that stole the votes.
Thought it was Jewish space lasers.
Oh, no, that's what started the fires.
Oh, that's what started the fires.
I thought it was because they didn't rake the forest. Stop it.
Well,
but you're right. They have their own brand of Trump fatigue, but as Kennedy said, success has 1,000 fathers, failure is an orphan.
Yes.
And you know, Georgia, particularly in 2020, there were Republicans who knew what they were talking about, who said, stop telling people not to vote by mail. Stop telling them it can't be trusted. Stop telling them not to early vote.
A good aim at their feet, didn't they? Oh,
yeah, so and dump, right, and you know, and dump the clip. But there's also something else that I think maybe just because of the passage of time and fatigue that we have forgotten, and that is that he said that had he lost in 2016... What he did in 2020, he was going to do in 2016 if he had lost.
And he's going to do it in 2024.
Yes, unless he stopped. And John, I mentioned it yesterday because I find it fascinating. There are a pair of Federalist Society law professors.
Yes.
Who have written an article, a law review article.
What did they recommend?
They said that Donald Trump is already disqualified from running for office.
That's what the Federalist Society says.
The 14th Amendment is self-executing.
I've heard they can go. It's pretty smart.
Their argument is going to be to go to various secretaries of state and say, have your legal eagles look at our work. We're right. Don't even let him on the ballot.
That's what it's going to take, Robin. That's what I mean by not all Republicans are on the Trump train. Some of them are, you know, a lot of them have Trump fatigue. They're tired of this bullshit, and they know what he's going to do if he gets a second term. It's going to be a revenge tour, baby. That's what it's going to be.
Well, I mean, that's what he said.
Well, if he got in again, I'm not too damn sure we'll ever have another presidential election. You know, things might change.
No, yeah, right. We will enter what I have described as an era of American Caesars. You know, Steve, it's your turn. There she goes again.
Okay. I. You know what? I didn't even honestly catch it because this sounded so good.
You know, at the time of Gaius Julius Caesar, Julian Caesar had held the consulship, and that had been 150 years or more before. And Julius Caesar was never an emperor. Granted, the Senate made him dictator for life, But dictator was actually an honorable position that was something the Senate did in times of crisis, like, you know, when the Gauls were coming.
Like a Cincinnatus type of thing.
Yeah. But after Caesar's assassination, the idea of being Caesar takes root as the equivalent of being ruler or imperator. And so it is that by May of 1453, when Mehmet II finally penetrates the walls of Constantinople, the first thing he does is run to the palace, stick the crown on his head, and, you know, this is a Muslim Turk, okay? And he declares himself Kaiser at Rum, the Caesar of Rome, because Caesar and Augustus had been formalized into terms of art and titles of offices. And so I guess it was a couple of years ago that I said, if this does not get stopped, we will enter an era where the chief executive of the United States is simply referred to as the Trump.
I always enjoy learning things from you, Robin.
Well, thank you, John.
I'm sometimes really amazed with your memory, your mind, your vast knowledge. You're a very well-read person,
thank you. I mean, I guess it's the trade out for.
And you know what, Robin?
Not being able to figure out how many notches off dead center to set the timing belt.
You know what, Robin? That ain't a fake mind.
That ain't a fake mind.
Yeah, you know what else ain't fake anymore?
Okay.
Vitamin She is doing her job. Finally.
Can I give a little tiny plug for myself?
Yeah, please.
And if it's inappropriate, I apologize. Since most people who listen regularly know I'm kind of weirdo and a little esoteric and contrarian on things, I started thinking about this. I think I'm going to actually do like a Substack to tie. If people want to subscribe to it, I don't know what it's going to be called yet. And if, you know, to kind of put some, to explain some of the things that we don't really get into too much detail about, some of the things that I don't want to say interest me, because that makes it sound selfish. It's not. But I tend to think my interests are a little bit quirky compared to an awfully large number of the horn. And maybe I'm being.
Oh, Steve, we're esoteric AF.
Okay, but I don't want to see like, boy, I know things, or I'm more different than a lot of people. But I will say that, again, please feel free to say, Steve, shut the fuck up. I from my experience, is that my interests and strengths, we'll say, lie in different areas than a lot of the Horn family. And if, okay, I just saw somebody wrote a little. I've been thinking a lot about a lot of shit, economics and taxes, tax policy, and why is this way, and why is that way, and I have increasingly found myself annoyed at people who try to explain things, and they don't have a clue, and it just, I thought, you know what, Steve, why don't you, and if people want to read it and think, wow, that's interesting, or they want to read it and say, he is even batshit crazier in his Substack than he is on the porch, great, but, you know, I and Robin, you can tell me if I'm wrong here. Please, I want you to tell me if you think I'm wrong here. I think without sounding arrogant, I think I bring a perspective or a knowledge base that's a little bit different than an awful lot of people. Is that yes, no, maybe so?
I don't think you're as different as you, I mean, We all have our interests, but you know, you write cogently and you write interestingly. I'm game for you writing.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't want
you, to. You remind me of the scene from Life of Brian, where Brian flings open the shutters and he's standing there naked as the day he was born. You know, Graham Chapman. And there's a crowd, there's a multitude waiting for him. And he begins by telling them, "I have one or two things to say to you," to which the crowd replies in unison, tell us both of them. And he says, "First, you're all different." And the crowd replies in unison, "Yes, we're all different." Except for one guy who then, after a beat, says, "I'm not."
There's always one.
I have loved that moment since the first time I saw it. "You're all different." "I'm not." That's, you know, just kind of, but I'm glad you think them's not fake brains, because I kind of work at it.
I know you do, and I think I told somebody, and I have always had a thing for historians. Two of my favorite teachers in high school were historians. One of them was actually from West Virginia. One of them was from Adams County, Ohio, but he had his master's degree from Wilmington College, which is a really, really good Quaker school might be somewhat southern Ohio. And those three teachers were generally conservative right wingers, but I just got to the point where I admire historians so much. And I count you there, that I feel like it's like this shit with Rome.
Well, I'm just a story. I'm not a historian. I'm not degreed in it. I've got a degree in English and a degree in law. But
hold on.
But no, you hold on for a second. Here's where I think, I want to be validating what you say. The mark of a great historian. I don't think anybody can be a great historian, at least on a popular level, without also being a great storyteller. Because history is anything but dry.
Absolutely.
It's engaging. It grabs you by the brains and just pulls you into entirely different eras. And you have to learn to think differently. It's like the other night talking about James K. Polk. You know, the guy who made war on Mexico as president of the United States, and then in 1849 came down with cholera and shit himself to death. That may be the first Montezuma's revenge. Yeah, because the Marine Corps hymns, you know, "From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli." Well, there were no halls of Montezuma, but I mean, well, they kind of were, but I don't think the Marines got there. But what a karmic revenge. And I never would have known that if I hadn't been, because Columbia, Tennessee is about 75 miles north of where I grew up in Alabama, and when we would go to West Virginia, we'd drive right by the Polk home. And one day I just wanted to know more about him, so you know, anytime I asked a question, "Well, we've got a set of encyclopedias, go find out." And off I went to the inside, and lo and behold, reading along, and, you know, there it is, the World Book Encyclopedia, and James K. Polk shit himself to death in 1849. I mean, not exactly, but close enough.
And you know what's best about history when you just read it? You find yourself going off on tangents. And that's where you get the little undiscovered country bit, where, like, you go off, and I found the same thing when I did legal research. You know, thank God for my ADHD that I would just go off on these tangents, and you know, 2 hours later I'd be like, "Oh fuck, I'm here to research this." But I found the same thing like you.
Well, I mean, the very thing happened on the program earlier this evening at the beginning of the Front Porch when Kevin up in Massachusetts started talking about the Molly Maguires, and then that took us to Jim Thorpe, PA, and the next thing we know, we're talking about the Lenape language and how the town that was became Jim Thorpe, PA, had originally been named from a Lenape Delaware word. The rabbit hole is what it's all about.
Oh, you know what? That's when it's really fun. It's really fun. You get down that rabbit hole, and where am I going, and what's... Yeah. And I, again, that's why... Look, I caught the history, but not the history. I caught the... I caught the historical story bug, like you said. When you get into those stories and you... I can't tell you how many times when I would listen to those teachers say to myself, fuck, I never knew that before. Oh, or, you know, I never knew that before. Or you find yourself going, so that's where that comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
So don't ever stop talking about trans stuff, and don't ever stop talking about Rome. And if you do, I'm going to, I don't know, force feed you hop slam or something.
Well, see, I was feeling kind of nerdy the other day, and I stopped myself short of sending out what used to be called a tweet, and it was just going to be kind of enigmatic and say, you know, what America needs is not a good 5-cent cigar. What America needs is a good Tarpeian rock.
Can I break in here?
You sure can.
What's going to happen if Biden wins by a landslide?
Oh, that'll be absolute proof that it was stolen.
Well, it's
absolutely
because that's the way.
No question about it.
Yeah, that's the way conspiracy theories work. The inability to prove the conspiracy is proof that the conspiracy exists. That's how Tangerine Tiberius can go into 60 plus courtrooms, get his ass handed to him every time, and come out and say, well, that just proves it.
That shows how strong the conspiracy is. Everybody's in on it.
It's like a cancer.
Right.
The landslide is so overwhelming. You know, Trump gets 2 states.
Sorry.
Robin, what was the name of that second movie, the one, free one on YouTube you were talking about?
Matewan, Matewan.
Matewan. Got it.
It's the name of a little town in Mingo County, West Virginia.
All right.
John Bredevoe, if you've never seen that, you need to watch it, too.
You know me, Robin. Y'all start talking about movies, and I'm the first one to start being quiet. I hardly ever get to sit down and watch a movie.
I know. It's my... the time that Annette and I get to sit after the show and just watch a movie.
Oh, there's not a day goes by that movies are not being played in my house. There's a movie.
You just don't get to sit down and watch them.
I'm asleep. By the time I do have time to sit down and watch something, I'm going to bed. My wife, she's a late nighter, and you know, she has this little thing, headphones on. Looks like a sweatband, but it's got.
Marsha has one of those too. Annette has one of those.
Yes, she puts it on. You know, it's real close to her head, like a sweatband or something. And she turns on TV, and I go to sleep.
Endorsed by people who have to live with liberal talk show hosts.
Yes,
it's the Bluetooth. It's the Bluetooth shutout headband.
That is exactly what it is.
That's hilarious, John.
That's the only way I get sleep. Because she don't turn that thing off until, like, I don't know, 4:30 in the morning, you know. And then I get up around 7, so.
Oh, it's 5:30. We've had 5:30 2 mornings in a row, and, you know, by the time airtime comes around, we're both just sort of walking around in a daze looking at each other like, I know you.
I just try to get through that first pot of coffee in the morning news so I can soak up what.
Yeah, pity poor little me. You know, little miss no caffeine.
Yeah. Oh, you're no caffeine for you?
Not since January of 1996.
Where do you live? How do you live?
Did you play the audio, Robin, of Ronnie, whatever his name, the ex-doctor for President Trump at the time, telling those paramedics and the cops to fuck off, I'll fuck up your careers, you know who I am, when they tried to relieve him saving that kid?
I did not play it, but that's worthwhile. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
He literally is doing CPR, and the paramedics showed up, and they tried to remove him, but he would not step off. for the parents to take over. The police came along. He said, "Do you know who I am? I'll fuck up your careers. I'll ruin your lives."
Blue lives matter, y'all.
There it is. Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can get this to roll. By the way, we've got.
We got a miracle.
No, we got $16 to go to finish Ralph's challenge, and that'll get us all the way down to $850 in terms of our fundraising deficit. That's a big deal. $16.
Verily, I say unto you, a miracle will not happen unless you, you out there listening right now, have it in your heart and bring that forth into your wallet and enter into the realm and make this.
Hallelujah, glory, amen, that's Brother John.
I'm telling you, we need to get a miracle today.
Don't you say it, Steve. Because I just thought the same clip, and no. Oh! Just no. By the way, this is the vacuous portion of the program. Breaking news, 4 months after he machine-gunned an innocent case of Bud Light, Kid Rock, whose name is neither Kid nor Rock, but refuses to call people by their preferred pronouns, Kid Rock has been caught drinking Bud Light.
Dare you say.
It's okay, that kid.
Transgender beer?
Yeah, it's okay, kid. We see you. You're valid.
All right.
And you know what the next thing's going to be?
Come on out of the closet, kid.
They're gonna find him with a man in his mouth.
Yes, with a man in his mouth.
Come on out, kid.
Oh, Bart Kopp. You know, I think it was our buddy Will, formerly of Chicago, now of Southern California, who said that when we were talking about Scott, he said, you know, there's a Jewish tradition that says as long as people are remembering you, that is your immortality. Well, Bart Kopp, wherever you are or ain't, you are remembered.
There you go.
Kid Rock's going to get caught with a man in his mouth. But no, that's breaking news. But Jeremy, thanks for reminding me. I've got the audio here, I do believe. Scrolling. What? God bless America. Hold on.
Hey, Jeremy? Is Jeremy there? I mean, he's there, but... I want to run some of the topics that I'm going to write by him.
Okay, put it in. Maybe put it in the chat, because I've got the body cam footage.
I'm here, Steve. You know I'm the sarcastic one in the group. I didn't mean what I said. I was only.
Oh, I know you didn't. Come on.
Okay. Sidebar it. Ronnie Jackson was. Well, EMS was trying to respond to a crisis, as Jeremy mentioned, and Ronnie Jackson wouldn't get out of the way, and now we have, God, thank you, body cam footage. There's music. We'll get audio in a minute. Teenager having a medical emergency at the White Deer Rodeo near Amarillo, July 29th. Representative Ronnie Jackson, a doctor, tries to help. He's seen in the background in a red shirt. No word here whether he was sober. Remember, he was called the Candy Man. He was asked to back up and refused to do so, and then law enforcement had to get him out of the way. Lovely piano. This comes from the Texas Tribune. And then he was such an asshole, he got tackled and slammed to the ground. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I love it.
That's unfortunate. There is a version out of the body cam audio.
Here it is.
No, you did not. You came in, you flew in, and you were a fucking full-on dick.
I did ask you to get back, and you did not get back.
You better recalculate, motherfucker.
Multiple people asked me to get back.
No, nobody asked me to get back.
Yes, this lady did.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. Everybody here asked you to get back.
When somebody tells you to get back, you get
Nobody
back.
Told me to get back.
I did. I had to tell you twice. I had to raise my voice the second time.
You rolled in and you freaking just like, get the fuck out.
No, I said, get back. Nobody listened.
I'm going to call the governor tomorrow. I'm going to fucking talk to him about this shit because this is fucking ridiculous.
Quit arguing.
Fucking ridiculous.
Hey, Ronnie, calm down.
Hey, Colton. Who is that? But when somebody tells them to get back, I have to say it three times.
I told them to get back.
Yeah. Okay, so y'all did?
We all told
them. We get it.
All right.
Jesus.
That was Ronnie Jackson?
That was Ronnie Jackson.
The guy that played the doctor at the White House?
Yeah, a member of your congressional delegation, John Bredeau.
The Candyman.
I'm going to slap him. Okay, I feel better.
What's our word, Steve?
The Candyman.
No, Backpfeifengeschicht.
Oh yeah. But wasn't he the Candyman also?
Yes, he was. He was. Yeah. He was Ron the Candyman Jackson for Donald Trump in the White House.
Now tell me, I know I'm speculating here. But I have this odd feeling that had that man been a little bit more melanin enhanced,
he'd have been bleeding.
That wouldn't have turned out quite.
But
that
he also, but it were the same true, he would
the
also.
Line, I'm going to talk to the governor tomorrow.
Really? Yeah, were that also true, Steve? He also would not have. He would have gotten the hell out of the way when the cop told him to get the hell out of the way. Oh, and by the way, we now know what Nitwit Nero is going to be doing during the debate on the 23rd. He's going to be sitting down for a face-to-face with masculine man of masculine masculinity, testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson.
You mean face-to-ass, right? Tucker's going to have his face up down his ass. And
you'll be able to see Tucker grinning every time Julius Geezer opens his filthy gob.
I didn't think Julius Geezer liked Tucker.
Tucker hates him, too. Tucker. So I'm sure Leon Scum is entirely psyched and stoked about the possibility of this.
I think John deserves a cowboy for face to ass. I really do.
I really agree.
There you go. Face to ass.
That's
right
all for you, John.
Thank you.
Your very own.
I very seldom get a cowbell. I enjoy them when I get them.
They can make your day.
Jeremy, I just sent you a text, a message. Did you get it? I'm not a Skype person, so.
I'll tell you if I approve or not.
Y'all pass the secrets around, huh? Okay. Well, we don't mind. That's all right. We're just
going to
do
it the traditional way. We put them in a draft box and give each other the passwords. We can read it and not really send one. That's how we do it.
And I got it. Okay, this is one last one of those stories. Thank you, Jeremy. Come on, people. Robin can't buy jet fuel and personality alone.
That's right.
Don't get me started. I'll be licentious again.
The private runway needs work, too.
Oh, the potholes are hell.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Sean, this story... I've said all along that all these anti-trans athlete bans will ultimately inure to the harm of cisgender women. And here's a classic case in point.
What happened?
South African Olympian Caster Semenya was banned from track and field by World Athletics because as a cisgender woman, she just happens to have profoundly high levels of testosterone. And World Athletics told her that she would have to suppress her naturally occurring testosterone levels if she wanted to continue competing.
They want her to take drugs.
Yeah. And they put her on testosterone blockers, and it just made her miserable. She said she had panic attacks. She said it's like stabbing yourself with a knife every day.
What the shit?
And again, she is cisgender. And the European Court of Human Rights said, you've been discriminated against.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah. But, do, but here it goes on. Despite the ruling, World Athletics said, well, we're not going to change anything. Because if an athlete has differences of sexual development, DSDs, she can't play in any of our reindeer games. Because it promotes fair competition among females. So this also affects Francine Nyonsaba, silver medalist in 2016 in the 800 meters. She's from Burundi. Namibia's Christine Mboma, silver medalist in the 200 meters at 2020 in Tokyo. All have to suppress their naturally occurring testosterone.
This is getting way out of hand.
Yeah, it is.
Because, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, despite people like Riley Grimes and Chloe Cole and all of those other professional fucking crybabies, I should have come in fifth by myself getting my ass handed to me by a cisgender woman. I shouldn't have had to share fifth place with that man who also got her ass handed to her by the cisgender woman in that swim meet. She's a professional crybaby. She's a grifter. And she's in the pay of the Independent Women's Forum. But the fact of the matter is, all of these bills are misogynistic in nature, as the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals pointed out yesterday. They harm cis women as much or more than they harm trans women. And yet, here we are. So, one of the most magnificent female athletes in the world, Caster Semenya, cannot compete because she refuses to unnaturally alter her body chemistry to placate a bunch of goddamn transphobes. And she ain't even trans.
That's the part I don't understand. If they're natural... I'm lost on this one. Hormones, and she has more testosterone in her level, and that's the way she was born. What? You know?
Well, it's unfair. It's unfair to the other women. It's unfair to the other women.
Really?
I mean, that's like telling.
Does this work the other way around?
No.
Well, why not?
Because the other way around isn't misogynistic.
There you go.
This is misogyny, not protecting women's sports. Yeah, it's like what we were talking about earlier, I think, before you came on. The bullshit with international chess. Trans women can't play in the women's division of international chess, but if trans men go on testosterone, they can play in the men's division, but it doesn't matter what a trans woman does, she cannot compete in chess.
Chess. Did you say chess?
Yes.
As in...
Yes. Queen to queen's level 3. Yes, chess. Yeah.
John is having the exact same reaction we had before he got on here.
Son of a bitch. Really?
You know, I'm reading some stuff about Caster, and it's very interesting.
You know, she's not juicing herself with testosterone.
Robin, just by
extension, every cisgender woman listening to this broadcast has more testosterone running through her body right now than I do. But it's about the chromosomes.
See, that's what I'm looking. And again, this is wrong. But the thing that I'm looking at, this is. I never understood what the term intersex meant. This is exactly. She is intersex.
Yeah, and you know, we tend to, you know, the old word was hermaphrodite.
Well, actually, you know what? I just was reading some. It says not to be confused with that, because she
because there are multiple ways that intersects manifests, one of which is hermaphroditism.
In other words,
to be born with both a penis and a vulva.
Right.
In other words, Robin, shit is a spectrum. It's not an on-off.
Yes, it absolutely is. And here's one more thing. You want something weird? I don't know how many redheads, natural redheads, we have in the Horn Family Community Congregation, or John in the Blue Dot Family.
I don't ask.
Neither have I, oddly enough.
I remember you saying this, by the way, but go
intersex
ahead.
People occur in the human population at roughly the same numbers as genuine redheads.
I've known several genuine redheads over my lifetime.
And so what that means is intersex people, and they are largely erased in this ongoing conniption. They can be born with undescended testicles that look for all the world like ovaries. They can, and the most horrifying part of this is if you want to, you know, the right wingers go on and on about mutilating a child's body. And I'm sorry, I do that voice for these conniptions because it just seems so appropriate, because it's just hectoring. All of these anti-trans bills, these anti-trans medication bills for adolescents, they all make a specific exception for parents who wish, who discover their child at birth is intersex. All of these bills allow surgeries to be performed on these infants without any form of consent by the infant to assign a binary gender to them.
By their parents. Or by the doctor. Who gets to choose?
The parents, the doctor will often recommend. There are horror stories out there. There's a pair of Canadian twins who wound up dying and one killed himself. It's a notorious story. But parents are allowed to say, well, you know, I want them to be a girl. And it's most often these surgeries at infancy are most often performed on babies that are born with external male genitalia and labia and vaginoplasty and clitoroplasty are performed on them before they ever even know or can consent. And they get raised and they get raised as little girls, and they feel like little boys and adolescent boys and adult boys. Until they finally find out that their parents were allowed to do things to them without their consent. And every one of these bills allows those parents to do it to their children, but denies medical treatment. No surgeries, even though no surgeries are being done, but not even so much as a puberty blocker for children adolescents who are diagnosed as absolutely, undeniably suffering from gender dysphoria.
Mm-mm-mm. Screwed up world, isn't it, Robert?
Well, it is. It is. And I think these stories deserve to be out there in the mainstream media. I mean, the chess story is just stupid.
Yeah, that's ignorance. That's
ignorance. But the Caster Semenya story is, dare I use the word, fucking evil.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia thing, and it's interesting because it says she is intersex, and they talk about some you know, chemical 5-alpha reductase 2 deficiency assigned female at birth with XY chromosomes. So she's basically got a mishmash of everything.
Yeah.
And it says, and natural heterogametic testosterone level. But the interesting thing is she's got XY chromosomes, which is the quote-unquote male pair, but then all kinds of other things I mean, I'm trying to break this down in a very simple way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is no simple way.
Or people expect, well, we're going to put a little bit of flour in there and some sugar and some beer, and it's going to come out as a chocolate mousse. And
it don't.
And it don't.
And imagine being a human being.
You know, and she must be
who,
like...
Imagine being a human being who has never been told that they have this condition and only discover it basically by accident during adulthood.
Imagine what she was going through as a kid.
Yeah. And then... And then, you know, you get to hate your parents for the rest of your life. And it's like one other thing, just to bring this up and, you know, just kind of clear the air, because like I said, I've been trying not to talk a lot about these stories during the week. But something dawned on me. There's another conniption, another kerfuffle going on in California right now in one of the right-wing school districts. You know, California may be blue, but it doesn't mean there ain't some red, just like Texas may be red, but that don't mean there ain't some blue. But another school district demanding and passing, contrary to the policy of the state school board, that parents of children who display tendencies of gender dysphoria or want to be known as different pronouns or called a different name, that parents have to be notified within 4 days. On its face, it's, you know, parental notification, parents have rights. But if you unpack that for even a few seconds, you realize that if a child is happy in their family and their family is loving and accepting, those parents probably already know. Because the child was able to trust their parents enough to say, Mom, Dad, I'm really a girl. Or Mom, Dad, I'm really a boy. And they go, we don't care what you are. We love you. And we support you. And we will do everything in our power to make sure that you grow up to be a happy, healthy, adult human being. Those parents already know. So the effect of all of these bills, what they're actually asking for in a sort of crypto-fascist way, or perhaps more overtly so, is they are insisting on the power to out children who are at risk of being beaten, tormented, subjected to conversion therapy by their hateful parents who should not even be allowed to have them in their custody in the first fucking place. They are literally bills that are designed to out and harm trans kids. And that is unconscionable, especially coming from a bunch of people who run around saying, but we love the children! Groomers! When in effect, what they want to do is they want to groom the children to be cisgender, heterosexual, Christian, and white. Even if they ain't white.
Kind of a narrow view of the world, huh?
And a vicious one too, John Bredeva.
Yes. Yeah. Everything you explained just then is the reasons that I say that we're not done. This is not a perfect union. The fight's not over. There's a thousand subjects we could discuss that point the same direction.
Right, and it's all human rights.
Yes.
You know, that's why these anti-trans bills are almost exclusively misogynistic, because they just ignore that trans men exist.
Everything we fought for.
Yeah.
To make this what it is all human rights. It's the dignity of each of us. I don't know, Robin. I'm a layman, but you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand.
No, you don't. All you have to be is a human being to understand.
That's it. Yeah,
to understand that women's rights are human rights, gay rights are human rights, environmental rights are human rights.
It's all.
Every marginalized community is engaged in an ongoing struggle for human rights. And there are no pigeonholes. They are all the same fight, yes, with different characteristics.
That's it. To piss off certain groups. whatever group they're going after.
Yeah, or you know, to piss on.
Indeed.
You know, I saw a discussion taking place of, you know, well, when they get tired of going after the trans people, who will they go after next? And say, well, you know, they'll go back after the gay people. Or they'll go after Hispanic people. And there was this long list, and finally I commented and said, huh, interesting that out of all that list, nobody mentions women when women are the ones that Republicans are most at war with even now.
They sell a good line of patriotism, Robin. It's bullshit, but that's all they got to sell.
Wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross.
John. That's it, baby. Eagle flying by. Right music right behind him.
It's all,
yeah, it's all a sales pitch. A bait and switch.
Just to keep the rubes worked up. But as we were talking about earlier, Trump fatigue is setting in on that side, too. They just want to go back to being what, among them, passes for normal. The difference between us and them being on our side, yeah. We recognize that normal is only a setting on a fucking dryer. So yeah. I'm off my little soapbox now. My battery is dying. Won't make it another couple of minutes. So I need to note that Matt in San Francisco, happy birthday again, Matt. Pointed out, macho man. These macho men sure seem to be really scared of the women folk. Well, I mean, you know, they're all gross and stuff. Yeah. Just,
I hope when you were on your soapbox, you weren't wearing your heels. You fall off.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Hey,
okay,
Will.
I don't.
Yeah, hey, I'm looking out for you. I don't want you to fall.
She was
off.
Wearing those heels, and she's got perfect balance, baby.
Okay, I just want to make
sure. She was right up there.
You understand it's all about me, you know, looking out for you.
Yeah, I got you.
And your Roman history shit. Which I love more than my luggage, you know that.
I know, yeah. And back in the days of King Canatus, when he set down his plowshare and picked up his sword.
To manage the Cincinnati Reds to yes. The 1990...
No, in the 1919 World Series.
Oh, shit.
And then returned to his farm and tended his vineyards and his vines. Yes. Y'all, I have to get out of here. I've literally lost another. We're down to 10% of this battery. That's how old this iPad is. 3 hours. Now we're down to 13%.
We got a miracle yet, Robin.
We are $16 away from being all the way down to $850, meaning come Wednesday, on, somebody, meaning 16, meaning Monday I and Tuesday and part of Wednesday are funded.
I do it myself, but I'm
don't you dare, yet. John Brittavo. Yeah. I swear to God,
oh,
I will get
life out here, baby.
I will get on my mule and ride. I will get on my mule and ride down to Texas and bring it back to you.
Y'all need to realize this. The only reason Robin has her voice on the air right now is because you're your donations. That's the only thing that keeps any of us going. This is her job. This is what she does. Her paycheck depends on what y'all put into it. So that's how come Robin always has to sit out here and ask you to please donate if you can. It's the only thing that keeps her voice going.
I wish I had more battery. But John Brittavo, it's so true. And it's so taxing.
Love you, baby. I just want you to take care of yourself.
Well, just hold on a minute, because it's so true, and it is so taxing to the soul to do this every blessed night.
It's humbling, isn't it?
Humbling is. I mean, that's the palest word for this.
It's not easy to ask for that.
Well, one of these days, John, as this battery dies its slow and lonely death, one of these days I want to have a conversation with you on air, because I think people might actually like to hear it, about, because maybe it's not like this for you. When I get done with the program, I'm jacked. Okay, when I get done with the program, it's like I've had three pots of of three pots of really strong coffee.
Yeah.
Wired.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Cranked up. Yeah.
And yeah, then and then to just turn it like a switch. Oh, okay, that's for, that. Yeah. Because I'm gonna be and this is 5 nights a week for 20 years, bouncing off the fucking walls.
Yeah, I'm doing. I try to put out 3 rants of my own, and then do 3 live shows a week, and all day long you have to prep for that. You got to get your head. For me, I'm a layman. I have to dig for everything. I have a little education I'm proud of, but
I just cheat and refer everything to Rome.
There you go. I'm not that easily.
Or the drag queens who founded this country.
I just I try to give my 2 cents, but yeah, it is extremely. I've only been doing it for 7 years. It has become my life. It eat everything up in your life. I've lost every bit of family I've had. All my friends, most of them are gone. I live on a street with people that hate me. Have attacked us, have attacked my donkey.
Yes.
Still have signs up on the road right down my house where I can look out the window and see them that says, fuck you, Blue Dot family. There's a lot that we have to go through for this. Robin has to go through for this. So it makes it a little easier when you also don't have to worry about the bills.
Yeah, amen.
To get the bills paid. And that's, I'm on a limited income. The only, I used to work for a living, and I guess I could still go out and do something. But I'm 70 years old, and getting here ain't a part of me don't hurt.
Yeah, they eliminated the welcome to Walmart jobs.
Yeah, that's the one I was banking on. But indeed, people, when we ask for a donation, it's hard to do anyway, and it would be for any of us. You don't have to go ask your boss for your paycheck. You expect it to be there. Well, this ain't that way. This is done only by the kindness and generosity of the listeners and people that have joined our families. The Horn family, the Blue Dot family, everybody that's out there trying to use their voice to try to motivate and encourage people to participate in the system. It's the only way it works. We the people, baby. That's us. So we need Robin's voice. So again, if you can donate, it could be 5, it could be 10. If it 100 would be great if you're in that kind of a position. But if you're not, like the rest of us, $5,
that's okay too.
Goes a long way, baby.
Yeah. Well, John, you have a wonderful weekend. Give my best to your entire lovely family. You and I share that in common as well. We
do.
We try to keep an extended family up and running, and it's lovely and it's beautiful.
It is.
And
indeed.
Family is everything. Thanks, everybody. Everybody else in the chat room, thank you so much. Thank you here on the front porch. Thanks so much. I am going to get out of the conversation now because this pathetic little battery is now down to 8%. I gotta hang up and get it plugged up because this is where we also watch our movies. So it'll take a little bit to get rejuiced for that. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our contributors via the U.S. Postal Service. Thank you for supporting this program in whatever manner you are able so to do and choose to do, and however you participate. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. I hope you enjoy the high school reunion this weekend. Roger, you are in our thoughts. I know that suit looks great. Jude has candles burning for 2 people, a candle burning for Roger, and a candle burning in honor of Matt's 59th birthday. Happy birthday again, Matt. Thank you so much for being a part of this community. You give me so many laughs, so many smiles, and you do the same for so many. I hope your birthday celebration is simply wonderful. Thank you, News Ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Hey, y'all, please like and subscribe to the podcast. It would be great if we could grow we happy few, to a happy few more. Add some more voices to the conversation. Leave a comment so the algorithms will know you were there. It's sort of a digital form of Kilroy, I guess. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Thanks, all of you. Thanks for the two challenges, and thanks for all the kindness all week long. This program would not exist, and all month long, and damn near 20 years long. Thank you. Please stay safe. Get your boosters if you're eligible. Wear your mask if you're around maggots. They don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, and they don't think much of themselves either, being willing to die for their orange god emperor. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And, of course, if you know who comes waddling and galumphing along the sidewalk,
you just wait. My lawyers are going to introduce this irrefutable evidence at trial.
Now, avoid nitwit Nero like the plague, because he is. Always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.